Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Cordwright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By RP Lumber. Best service, best value. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. And by Clear Sound Hearing in Galesburg and Monmouth, providing innovative hearing solutions. Set an appointment for a free evaluation and hear what you've been missing. Now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, and Jake Miller with Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. We appreciate you being with us for Galesburg High School football. The Rock Island Rocks in town for tonight's homecoming activity. What else is happening around the area tonight? Our pregame regional report brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. The Moline Maroons tied with Sterling for first place in the conference. Moline is at UT tonight as the Panthers have lost two in a row. Sterling entertains Quincy and Geneseo. The two teams at the bottom of the conference take on each other at Bob Reed Field in Geneseo tonight. Lincoln Trail, Knoxville unbeaten on the season at home against Anawan Weathersfield tonight. Abingdon Avon won by forfeit, so they're already qualified for the postseason at 6-0. United plays host to Ridgewood tonight. Rova Williamsfield is at home against Stark County. Mercer County is at Princeville. Big game in the Prairie Land Conference. Farmington and Rushville Industry doing battle down at Farmington tonight. Both of those teams 5-0 on the season. How about the Kewanee Boilermakers under former Silver Streaks coach Brad Swanson, leading the Three Rivers Conference on the Mississippi Division after a big win over Princeton last week, a dominating win in that rivalry game, and Kewanee takes its unbeaten record to Spring Valley Hall tonight. First place team in the Three Rivers Rock Division is Monmouth Roseville, and they're at home tonight against Orion. Erie Prophetstown also unbeaten in that division. At home against Port Byron, Riverdale Rockridge is at Morrison tonight. Eight-man football, West Central plays tomorrow at Galva. BPC is at Decatur Lutheran tonight. West Prairie plays Kincaid South Fork. And the Silver Streaks, two non-conference opponents this season. Dunlap at home against East Peoria tonight. And a big game for Morton after a tough loss last week. They've got a home game with Metamora tonight in the Middle Illini. So that's what's happening around the area tonight. Here tonight, 71 degrees as we get ready for the kickoff. And a bit of a wind. As always, Jake Miller down on the sidelines. I know we tell you that every week, but we don't ever want to take it for granted. It's a great perspective to have, even when it is raining like it was last week. But conditions here tonight, really, Jake, about as good as we've had them in a home game so far this year.
Yeah, it's perfect tonight. A little south wind tonight, so in the field that lays north to south, the streaks will be kicking into the wind as they kick to the rocks on the opening kickoff here in just a few seconds. So a little bit of wind right now. It's kind of laying down, though. It shouldn't be any kind of an effect on anybody's game plan here tonight. The heat shouldn't be a factor. We're week six. These guys should be conditioned. Let's play ball.
It's been a warm week, certainly. But nice to have it cool down here as this game gets ready to start. We had a little bit of rain earlier in the evening during the freshman game, which the Streaks lost 52-20. It was a long game, which is why here we are at 7:48 p.m. just now getting ready to start a varsity game. If you look at it on the schedule, it was supposed to get underway at 7 p.m. Injuries for the Silver Streaks. John Wren continues to remain unavailable with a back injury, a very mild back injury. So Sam Satiski doing all of the kicking for the Silver Streaks. And we already talked in the pregame, no Alex Egyptiaco out of the backfield for the Streaks. No Javion Beckham out of the defensive secondary, as Amari Richardson will get tested there very shortly as Rock Island is ready to receive the opening kickoff. Satiski's kick is a squib kick up the middle and scooped up at the 18-yard line, and a return by Quinterian Brooks to the far side to the 50-yard line, and the flag comes down right as the play is ending at midfield. And in the freshman game, Rock Island returned the opening kickoff to score right off the bat, and we were close to having it there. Let's see what the penalty is.
Now the Streaks have had a couple of kickoff returns in or kickoffs in a row where we've had some issues. That it's a holding penalty on the rock, so that will send them back a little ways. But, you know, in the Quincy game, that was a bit of a struggle, which probably led to the squib kick tonight. Rocky definitely with some athletes back here that can break that thing at any given time.
And I think it was Cam McGuire on a tackle. I couldn't really tell. Jake, did you see who it was?
No,
the tackle?
There was a plethora of streaks in there on that thing, so I wasn't able to catch a number.
So it'll be at the Rock Island 37-yard line after the penalty moves it backwards. I mean, it wouldn't have been a debacle if they'd opened with a kickoff return, but it sure wouldn't have set a very good tone for the evening. So from the 37-yard line is where the Rocks start this. Both teams 2-1 in conference play. And the quarterback is Eli Reese, who slaps his hands together trying to draw the streaks off sides. Now he pitches on the option toss play to the outside. Darius Tongo on the carry with a first down. Cut back to the middle, into streaks territory, downfield to the 40, the 30, the 20, the far side 10. Touchdown, that little cut back up the middle, back toward the middle of the field, was all the difference. And a 63-yard touchdown run to open the game.
Run a little speed option here to the wide side of the field, and the quarterback makes the right read. You have a streaks defender in there to hit the quarterback, but he breaks one tackle on the outside. I think it was broke the tackle of Hunter Davina, and that one tackle was all he needed. Right.
Anthony Campbell has the kicking duties for Rock Island, so we're 19 seconds into the game, and the Rocks score first on one play. So they had a big kickoff return, and then the big run play. The extra point is good, and it's 7-0.
We talk about the speed of the game. One of the things that when we were coaching, Jake, if you recall, we always had a hard time preparing for the speed of the game against Rock Island because they had so much speed. And it would always take us a couple of series before we'd settle down and let the speed of the game catch up to us. Hopefully that's not the case here because we've been playing some teams with some good team speed.
Yep.
You know, and we haven't had this type of start. So I hope that's just the case where it was, you know, that was not quite the way we practiced all week. You know, that was a little bit something different. And so we'll settle down here. In part, one of the things that we always like to, Jake, if you recall, was to go on offense first. Now, I know we didn't. I don't think we won a coin toss, but the value of going on offense first kind of let us feel the pace of the game. For if we went three and out, or if we got a first down, or we didn't score or something like that, at least we got the feel of the game. Whereas defensively, if they run a big play like that, all of a sudden now you're down 7-0 before we're getting the feel of the speed of the game. So hopefully that's the case right here. We're able to get the ball back here, settle down a little bit, and get a nice drive.
Mari Richardson, Marcus Lewis deep for the Silver Streak, standing at their own six, ready to take this kickoff from Campbell. Rock Island's first play from scrimmage. Again, a 63-yard touchdown run from Darius Tongo. And here comes Campbell's kick, and he'll kick it short. And it'll be Lewis running up underneath it at the 15-yard line on the far side of the field. Skips to the outside and then tackled just short of the 30-yard line, where the Silver Streaks will start this drive. And Tristan Legate leads the offense onto the field. And how about that offensive line that we've seen the Silver Streaks the past few weeks? We don't talk about them much. Germany Goods working our way left to right, starting at the tackle spot. Jersey Siren at the guard. Aaron Kelly, the center. Jeremiah Morris at right guard. And Noah Wright at right tackle. And talking with Derek Blackwell in our weekly meeting yesterday, just had all kinds of great things to say about Noah Wright and what he has done anchoring the right side of this Streaks offensive line. And just the group in general has done the hard work up front. And let's see who gets the first carry. It'll be Cam McGuire bouncing to the outside, and he gets very close and does get the first down up the far side of the field. A little hesitation move that allowed him to skip past the first down marker up to the 43-yard line.
Just a little bit of that zone read stuff that you've seen the Streaks run, or that you've heard the Streaks running all year long. Cam, definitely his first look is to make that jump cut and get to the outside, and it was successful there.
It was there, absolutely.
Two innings gone in St. Louis with the Cubs in town to wrap up the regular season. Cardinals leading 1-0 on a Tyler O'Neill home run. Bouncing to the outside, to the right side, Aguirre this time to the 50. Takes a hit, stays on his feet, then wrapped up just short of the Rock Island 49-yard line.
A player down.
So he'll pick up 7 on first down, and that's a Rock Island player back at the middle of the field, which will slow things down here for a moment.
When our running backs get to the edge like that, what you're absolutely the first thing you should think about is what our tight ends are doing to seal that edge and give our guys chances to get out there. And I talked about it a little bit with Coach Hawkins, what we can do with our tight ends and the fact that we have three of them that are as good as they are at blocking and pass catching, but especially blocking here in the run game. Hunter Davina, they're able to kind of really seal that edge, and our backs know it, that we are very physical at that position, and they can get outside very often.
Yeah, and on that play, actually, Hunter had a nice block where he's kicking the guy out. But
he stays engaged the whole way with that guy.
And, Cam could have cut it up, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to get my speed out here. But he wasn't worried at all about that guy that Hunter was blocking, because that guy, he had a good block and he was not going to get away from Hunter.
Injured player for Rock Island.
72.
Riddell Parks, 6'4", 300 pounds.
Yes, up, large man.
And walking under his own power.
He'll be back.
Was a little ginger when he got up, but then able, as he continues to walk it off, looking much better as he gets off the side of the field. So he'll be out of play, maybe a couple, from what we can tell, just from him walking off the field.
Now, when he goes off the field, then the size difference between O-line and D-line is a little bit noticeable right now. The Streaks do have a bit of advantage, especially with that recent injury.
Alex Boffman will line up at wide receiver to the left side along with Dre Egypciaco. Davina lined up in the H-back slot to the left. And the single setback is Aguirre to the left of Legate. Aguirre with a handoff to the outside. First down and more up the Rock Island 40. Cuts back to the middle. 30, 20. He's down to the 10. Tripped up from behind. Stumbles and falls forward to the 5-yard line. And a touchdown saving tackle with a dive at the ankles by Xander George. But it's first and goal. Silver Streaks on a gain of 45.
We do have a hanky
back here at the 48.
Where? Oh, way back on the other side of the field where the receivers were lined up. Holding against the Silver Streaks. Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Okay, I don't know how a side judge that far away from the play makes a holding call.
So this is going to back it up to the Galesburg 38-yard line. So in essence, a 57-yard penalty. That's not what it's going to be in the books, but the reality of it is that that's what it's going to end up being. Sean's looking at the replay.
We've seen this happen before. You know, we saw a touchdown called back last week, too. And they were able to, you know, kind of right the ship, get their heads back in the game. They went down and scored anyway. Hopefully we can respond in the same manner here.
Did you see it?
It wasn't much at all. I mean, the guy, it was on Germany goods. The guy got a little separation from him, and he did have a little bit of cloth, but it wasn't no bearing on the play. It wasn't close. But
Aguirre to the left, can't get to the outside, has to cut it upfield, gets back to the 38 for no gain. And just like that, it's going to be third and 15 Silver Streaks.
Third and a bunch. You know, there's a couple things you can do here early in the ball game. Test the linebackers here on a screen. Obviously, you've always got the Dre Egypciaco card to play. You know, down the sideline, can he get an interference call? Can he get separation down there? He's going to line up in the slot to the right side of the formation right now.
Right side heavy in this formation, too. Back to pass, Legate.
There it goes.
And they're going long. Uh-oh. Up in the air and a real wobbler, and it's going to come up short.
And there's the penalty
flag. Intercepted, and then we did get a push. The flag comes down. Two Rock Island defenders with Egypciaco downfield. Here's the conversation from the official.
That was a horrible throw. It came out bad, caught the wind. The corner decides to come back and grab Dre, so he can't go back to make a play as the safety came over and intercepted it.
So it's third and 15. Will those 15 yards be enough? It'll be
Should
close.
Be.
I mean, right, the math says.
Right at it.
Judge, looking at where the line of scrimmage is and looking at where the stick was back, it looked like it was exactly 5 yards, so there shouldn't even be an issue of a measurement here. So the Streaks are going to get a first down by penalty, but they're not moving the chains.
There they go.
All right. So I don't know if the nature of that poorly thrown ball the situation.
It absolutely aided. That ball was it just came out bad. Like you said, it caught the wind. And that does actually help because Dre is looking back for it. The defender is not. And that's where all the penalties start from in the defensive back perspective.
So a first down by penalty. The Streaks go on the ground. Aguirre again trying to get to the outside. Gets cut off there. Tries to cut up field. Gets a gain of a yard to the Rock Island 46. Second and nine.
There the Rock defenders were able to get through the blocks of those tight ends I've been talking about. One breaks free of Hunter Davina there and is able to get to Cam before, well, right as he gets back to the original line of scrimmage.
I think it was 46, Isaiah Samuelson. That was blitzing there. 6 foot, 234.
They'll keep it right at the line of scrimmage. So no gain. Second and 10 from the Rock Island 47. Aguirre to the left side this time. Nowhere to go. And tackled by two Rock Island defenders. And a big tackle made by Isaiah Samuelson at 6 foot, 234. And that goes as a loss of a yard. And just like that, the Streaks face third and 11.
Yeah, both inside linebackers were in that play. I think 54 is the other one. Let's look at his size. He is Calvin Lawrenson, 6'3", 207. That's what they have in the middle for the linebacking crew.
All right, Streaks with the aid of a Rock Island penalty converted on third and 15. Now facing third and 11. We're just underway, not even 3.5 minutes into the first quarter. Rock Island scored on its first play from scrimmage, a 63-yard touchdown. This is the Streaks' first offensive possession. Trying to move the chains for the second time on the drive. The pass to the outside, a dive by Mikey Eicher at the 40, incomplete, just out of his outstretched arms, and the Streaks will have to send the punt unit out. So the drive stalls just on the other side of midfield in Rock Island territory. And back ready to return the punt is Marion Anderson. And he's certainly got big play capability as well.
Yeah, the best thing Hunter can do here is if he can get one as deep as he can to the sideline to give half the field for the Streaks to cover. You put a ball up high or low here and in the middle, there's going to be some issues I hope to avoid.
You still feel the breeze up here in the press box. The rush is on. He gets the punt away,
nice punt.
And a good
Perfect.
One. Marion Anderson backs up. Now he scoops it up at the six, trying to run it back. The Streaks surround him and upend him at about the 8-yard line. Well, he never issued the fair catch call. He looked like he was going to let it roll, and then it took a bounce right to him, so he scooped it up and returned it about 2 yards.
Well, Jake, would you say that it looked like they had the block on?
Yeah, there was pressure. I don't know if they had a block on because they looked like there were some guys back there, but there certainly was pressure on that punt. Hunter gets it off into the wind, and it's like I talked about, it landed about at the numbers on the right side. The Streaks were able to cover that up.
Eli Reese at quarterback has completed better than 63% of his passes this season. This drive starts from the 9. Again, he claps the hands together. The Streaks do not jump off sides. He looks to the sideline. Here comes the new play. The snap, and they keep it on the ground. On the right side, and a flag comes flying in right as Quantarian Brooks runs to the right side for a short gain. The
Jeremiah
flag right
Mortis.
Through the middle.
Jeremiah Morris already signaling holding on their side, so he's helping the officials out, and he's correct.
So that'll be half the distance to the goal line. The drive started at the 9, so they'll move it back. Probably just inside the 5, I would speculate, by the time they walk this off. Oh, now we're going to pick up the flag. Now we're going to step back, walk it off. So I'm going to walk it off from the 10, so it'll be right at
the
5.
Or
the 4. To the 4.
Take 6 steps.
3.5. So you okay.
Not, that's right.
Not sure of the distance, but okay. So out of the end zone now. Reese gets the pass away. Complete to Kai Rios. Just short of the first down is where he's taken down. And a nice tackle made on the far side of the field in open territory by Eicher. And, well, no, they're going to say that Reese came down in first down territory, or Rios, rather. Looked like he was taken down short of the marker, but they're going to move the chains even without a measurement.
Those tight ends, even as big as he is, those tight ends coming across the formation like that, it's easy to get lost in the coverage, and that's what happened there. Come across the coverage, he's wide open, able to make a good catch and run.
Hit him.
Yeah, you can't let him free release.
Yeah, hit him off the line of scrimmage. Hit him as he does that route across the middle. The linebackers are there. Guy comes near you, hit him. It's in most cases, this guy's going to be within 5 yards, and that's the yardage at which you can hit him.
7-0 Rock Island, first down for the Rocks, and now a flag or a whistle as Derek Blackwell calls a defensive timeout with 7:16 to go in the first quarter. Rock Island leading 7-0. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by local State Farm agent John Hawkinson, offering home, auto, and life policies to fit your budget and lifestyle. By Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
Standing at the end of the driveway, surveying the cracks, you imagine how much nicer your house would look with a new concrete driveway. For any and all jobs involving concrete, consult the experts at Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next concrete project.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
7-0 Rock Island, 7:16 to go in the first quarter. Coming out of a Galesburg defensive timeout, Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller with you. Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer, homecoming here at Van Dyke Field at Galesburg High School. Silver Streaks trying to add to a two-game winning streak with the Rocks leading by 7 and a first down from their own 19-yard line. They'll keep the play on the ground right up the middle, and the Streaks stop it across the 20 to about the 22 and then push the play backwards. So a gain of, we'll call it about 3 on first down. From St. Louis, bottom of the third inning at Busch Stadium, Cardinals lead the Cubs 1-0 as they wrap up the regular season tonight.
Jake, we saw right before we called timeout, as they snapped the ball, that last play, they were running power. They came back with the same play. The Rocks didn't change it.
Marked the ball at the 23 for a gain of 4.
Here's
second
again.
And 6.
Same play.
Back to Brooks, up the middle, room to run. And again, he's going to cut it to the outside, and a tackle slipped through short of the 50 and up the far side before he's finally pushed out of bounds in Rock Island's sideline at the 40-yard line. And Mari Richardson got tangled up with him, and they both went tumbling out of bounds on the far sideline, but no flag. And a big run broken off by Brooks takes the ball from the Rocks 23 to the Galesburg 40-yard line for a gain of 37. Well, earlier in the game, it was Darius Tongo who had the big run. Now Brooks breaks one off, and there's another big play up the far side. Brooks again, and a touchdown-saving tackle made at the 15-yard line by Mikey Eicher.
In each of these cases, we have Streaks defenders at the point of attack, able to get arms on these guys, but they're just not able to tackle at the point of attack, breaking a tackle and making their way for big plays right now, carving off big chunks against the Streaks defense.
That goes as a gain of 26. So already 130 yards on the ground for Rock Island and a first down inside the Galesburg 15. On the ground again, up the middle, and the Streaks make a stop there, contained for a gain of a couple. Rock Island already leading 7-0. We just passed the midpoint of the first quarter, looking for more here.
And Rock Island employing their run game right now very successfully. You know, everything coming in was that they were going to chuck the ball around the yard. Right now, they don't need to, and they're you know, not doing anything fancy. They're just out there kind of pounding it around.
Their linemen are very active. They're pulling just about every play, one side or the other, a guard or two plays ago, they pulled a guard and tackle.
Pass play to the right side, complete Reese, and a tackle made by Nolan Carl with a stop made at the 10-yard line. So they swung the out route to the sideline. Goes as a short game, and it'll be third and six.
We'll Streaks actually played that very well.
They did.
Nolan Carl able to get off his block and make contact at the point of attack, and guys rallied to get him down.
With third down here, the way they moved the ball, it'd be a huge victory to only come away with an attempt for a field goal.
Third and six, rolling
get
left.
Him.
Pressure from the backside, and the tackle made on Reese back at the 15-yard line. As closing speed by Xavier Van Dyke took him down from the backside, so a loss back to the 15-yard line, and it'll be fourth and 11 for the Rocks. Big, big play there.
Yeah, so watching the sideline right here, I don't see anybody coming out. So apparently not too confident in the field goal kicking here. So the Streaks with a great chance to really bend in this drive, but hopefully not break.
I was just talking about a moral victory of a field goal attempt. Here we are at fourth down, even better victory. Oh, ooh, that's close.
Yeah.
Sorry. We about jumped off sides.
Saw some movement there.
Yep.
Fourth and 11, Rock Island, from the Galesburg 15-yard line. They're going to run the play. Reese back to pass. He's got protection. Rolling right. Still looking for somebody. Flag down in the backfield. Reese lofts it into the end zone. Man breaks free, and pulling it down to the back end is Marion Anderson, but a flag down back at the 22-yard line, and I think this will be negated. Streaks were chasing after the ball on the far side. Anderson broke free, and it is a hold, and that negates a Rock Island touchdown. And now moving him back possibly out of even field goal territory with a flag down back at the 21-and-a-half-yard line. Now they throw it back up to the 15, and they're going to mark it off from there.
I got a feeling that they weren't going to run that play. You know, the guy, the back judge, was counting down. Thought maybe they went out there to try to make his jump and then run a field goal unit out. But then they snapped it, right, when that guy was at about five on his count on the play clock. And then the play just seemed very disorganized.
So the penalty takes it back to the 26-yard line now. Rock Island can get a first down at about the Galesburg 4, leading 7-0. Back to pass, Reese going long again. Man-to-man coverage, and Rock Island had to play defense to bat that one away. Mikey Eicher was setting up to go for the interception, and then Rock Island just had to come in from the backside and bat it away from Eicher, and the Streaks defense holds, and Galesburg takes over at the 26-yard line. There you go. Just what you were talking about, Sean.
Yeah, well, but not only that, but also adjusting. You know, they came out again this series offensively, moved the ball quickly on us. We're trying to adjust to the pace of the game, and we settled down. They got here, you know, inside the in the red zone, looking that they have an opportunity to score again. We settled down, hold them to a fourth down, turnover on downs, and now here we are coming out on the 26-yard line.
7-0 Rocks, 3:50 to go in the first quarter. Galesburg takes over. Had one first down on the opening drive. Needs to take it 74 yards here. Back to pass. Legate looking long. Another wobbler thrown up into triple coverage, and DiCipciacco has it at the Rock Island 38-yard line. He just stopped, came back for it, and right in among three defenders, he was able to pull it in for a first down.
That was called at the line of scrimmage. You saw Tristan give his horns kind of an audible. As tight as Rock Island's corners, as tight as I've seen anybody play Dre all year, he was going to run a hitch there. I guarantee it. They saw as tight as that those defenders were, they just decided to go. Again, the ball wasn't great.
No,
Dre was better.
And it seems like all three of the Rock defenders never looked up for the ball.
Yeah.
Dre was like, okay, I'll take that.
Goes as a gain of 37 for the Silver Streaks. Another pass play to the far side. Complete to Eicher. Breaks free of a tackle to the 20. Steps inside. Right. Tackled inside the 10-yard line. First and goal, Silver Streaks.
So they're playing tight. They're playing tight on Dre, but they're playing soft on Mikey. So Mikey was able to run that stop timing route that they've been very successful doing. It's almost a back shoulder deal. Mikey makes one move, and the Streaks are in business right now.
Yep. Flipping the field real quick.
Gain of 37, followed by a gain of 27, and first and goal, Silver Streaks. Ball sitting right at the 10-yard line of the far hash mark. Clock winds under 3 minutes to go here in the opening quarter. Streaks trailing 7-0, looking to tie it up here.
Well, here we are, Jake. Tighten it up. Double tight bone.
Double tight into the wishbone we go. Yep. Hand off to the second man through right up the middle and a dive back to the line of scrimmage at the 10 for no gain.
Jake, I heard your sigh. What'd you see?
Is that Dave or is that Amari? Whoever the ball carrier was, I was just getting down here late.
It was Amari.
There's a hole there and somebody was just in on his ankles and just unfortunately tripped him up. He couldn't get through the hole.
Yeah, I saw the same thing you did, but I thought I'd let you talk because he went, oh, I heard it. Because it was there.
It was just there.
The defender got enough of his leg to not allow him to cut back in there.
Mari Richardson carried the ball 14 times for 93 yards against Quincy last week. Aguirre gets this carry, trying to get to the outside, and nowhere to go for that play either as Rock Island was ready for it and wrapped up on the outside by Ayochi Bernard, and it'll be third and goal.
Yeah, I would like to see Cam get up in there. I think 3 yards was available to him, as slippery as he is. But again, just his first instinct, and it's been successful, is to bounce. And right now the Rocks defense is fast enough that if we bounce, they're going to be guys there to pursue.
They're playing that. They expect us to bounce. And what they're doing is they're maintaining the outside leverage and allowing the backers to fly freely.
Hunter Davina lines up tight end left. They stay in the wishbone. Aaron Carl tight end right. They are targets, and Legate is going to throw under pressure and wrapped up back at the 20-yard line and pushed backwards. Rock Island was ready for it, blasting in from the left side of that Galesburg offensive line. Jacob Rauer came in, and with a big stuff back to the 20. And here comes Sam Satiski for what will be about a 38-yard field goal attempt.
Yeah,
he's got the leg for it.
He does. It's into the wind a little bit here, so... Yeah, he does have the leg, and you really want to get away with something here. First and goal from the 22. I mean, I don't know what your odds are better doing, trying to run a play or kick the field goal, but we're going to give this a shot.
Snap is good. The hold is good.
Distance
the kick
is good.
Has the distance, and it makes
it
just across the crossbar, and Galesburg gets on the scoreboard with 41 seconds left. Had that been another half yard farther, it might not have been enough. But he got it just what he needed. 7-3, Rock Island leads by 4. We'll keep it here with 41 seconds left in the first quarter.
You know, right when Rock Island was knocking on the door to go up, you know, two scores on us, we get a nice stop. We stop on fourth down, move down to get three of our own. So a good change there that we have. Could have been down two scores. Now we're only down 4 points total. So outstanding job by the Silver Streaks there.
All right, so the listener at home might be wondering, why don't you keep throwing the ball? You got a 37-yard pass play and the 27-yard pass play. You just boom, boom, you're down. Why don't you keep throwing the ball? The Streaks ran it three straight times instead and didn't get anything out of it. How do you guys address that?
We did run it two straight times. The third time was a pass. He just wasn't able to get it off.
Correct.
So it goes as a running play. They were trying to do that there. The first run play would have gone if not for just a shoestring tackle, and that would have gone and then set things up. You know, the Streaks are still trying to feel things out, really. It's their second possession, just trying to figure out, you know, what they can do against this Rock Island defense right now. And I don't blame the play calls there one bit, and just that they were ready for our third down play action. You know, play action always works better on second down than it does on third, because third down, it's very predictable, and I think that's what happened there.
Yeah, and Tristan was never able to get his hips around because he was going to the left.
No, he was retreating
from
the
beginning. Yeah, he couldn't get his hips and shoulders around. You can't throw the ball if that doesn't happen, so... but no, the play call there. I mean, it was first and goal. We put our big package out there, double tight wishbone, and we weren't able to produce. I mean, we've done this all season. We've been able to move the ball. Just didn't work this time.
Satiski's kick, squib kick up the middle through the first man. Now scooped up at the 20-yard line. Here's Brooks again trying to get to the outside. Runs up the far side of
nice
the field
hit.
And a tackle made just short of the Galesburg 40-yard line to prevent a bigger and then a big finishing hit after. Aguirre at least knocked him off balance.
We got a Rock Island kick returner down here at this point with this time. Guys, when's the last time you've seen a Streaks player hit a 38-yard field goal? Let's talk about that for a second. into the wind, 38 yards is, you know, Sean and I coached a lot of years when the kicking game was just something that was, you know, we didn't have the benefit of the extra soccer guy that these guys have.
Right.
And so what a weapon to have.
And the Streaks have two of them.
And the Streaks have
when
two
they're healthy.
Of them. Right. And what a weapon to have. In regards to putting points on the board, 38 yards, if those of you that watch TV on Sundays and Saturdays, that's no big deal. But in a high school football game, that's a pretty big deal.
Yep. It goes as a six-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. They cover 53 yards in 3 minutes, 10 seconds. And again, we'll say it again, not only a 38-yard field goal, but a 38-yard field goal into the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 32 seconds to go here in this first quarter. Rock Island leads 7-3, and they're going to have the ball at the Galesburg 39-yard line. So a big run back yet again.
Again, the kickoff team. We've got some issues there, and we're doing what we're supposed to. We're squibbing it, but we've got some coverage issues. We're overrunning coverages, and then we're letting them break contain, which is the two big no-nos on kickoff.
And they've run off some big running plays already in this first quarter, too. So a short field is not what you want to see. Handoff to the right side and getting down low, and a flag comes in right at the end of the play as the dive play moves forward to the 36-yard line, and the flag stops the clock with 26.6 seconds left in the first quarter.
And that's thrown an area of holding. Hands to the face. Face mask on us.
Oh
darn.
So give it a gain of 3 to the 39, or to the 36, rather. Fellas, that's Jonte Allen in there at quarterback. It's not Reese.
That's correct.
Just a 5-yard face mask penalty. So they gave him the yardage and the face mask, and now it's first and two. Hand off to the second man through. Stopped right at the line of scrimmage.
And thus why you see the run-heavy offense right now. That you know, be. For us to be yeah. slow to pick that up, but that's why you're seeing that right now.
All right, end of the first quarter, 7-3 Rocks after one from Van Dyke Field on homecoming night. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
Having bad credit doesn't mean it's the end of the road for you and your car buying journey. In fact, there are many car buyers with bad credit who qualify for financing on both new and used cars through YEM's Credit Acceptance Program. This is Dustin Cardenas, the Cadillac guy at YEM. We partner with many lenders, including Credit Acceptance, to guarantee credit approval. Whether you're on a fixed income, unemployment income, or you have multiple open auto loans or multiple repossessions, stop in soon and give us a chance to help with our Credit Acceptance Program at YEM.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
One quarter gone from Van Dyke Field. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey in the press box. Jake Miller down on the sideline. Will Stevenson in the studio as our broadcast engineer. It's 7-3 Rock Island, and in 12 minutes we'll be at halftime. What's our halftime feature this week, Sean, and what's good at Galesburg High School?
As we always have, Principal Tom Hawkins on the show talking about what's was good this week and what we have coming up next week. But we also had our spotlight this week was on the 21st Century Club that we have at the high school. The director, Sarah Gray, is going to be talking about the organization and what they do for the students here at GHS.
Boy, miscommunication on the handoff. Oh. Finally, they get it away to Tongo, and he gets a first down out of it up to the Galesburg 25-yard line. There was all kinds of a mess in the backfield. It's almost like the quarterback, Allen, didn't want to hand it off, and Tongo was trying to take it from him, and finally he did, and he still made it a gain of six.
I think he was still reading.
Yeah, that's a quarterback riding the mesh is what that is. And so he's riding the mesh for as long as he can. A good quarterback can do that, but there comes a point where you got to let it go or that guy's going to take it from you, and a lot of times the ball ends up on the ground when you do that.
Or the mesh gets hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, defensive player comes in and hits it, and they're able to play both players. Swing. Played well.
Pass play complete at the 30-yard line, and the streaks wrap it up. Thomas makes the stop. Van Dyke was in the area as well, and it goes as a gain of a yard when it's all said and done, with the stop made at the 29 on the pass play to Tongo again.
Just perfect fundamentals by Damian Thomas right there. He reads his man, first of all, to be out there is one thing, and then just the way he sits and he triangulates everything and he waits for help. That's, you can put that on a clinic video.
Yeah, and I always say this, is that you can make the play without making a play. He held that guy there long enough for Van Dyke to come out and make a tackle.
Gain of a yard to the 24. Rolling pressure. Davina with a tackle back at the 34-yard line as he chases down the quarterback, Allen, and a big loss of eight on the play. Nine on the play, and it'll bring up third and long, and the Streaks defense continues to make big plays when needed. Try to prevent Rock Island out of the end zone.
Yeah, the first we've really been able to call Hunter Davina now defensively. Formationally, he's been pretty deep in the defensive backfield. But formationally right there, he was able to get a free release. And you want to block number 45 because he's going to get to your quarterback more often than not.
Yeah, he had a free release.
That's not the guy to give one of those to.
So a loss of nine takes it back to third and 18 now. With the clock rolling, under 10 minutes to go in the half and a timeout called by the Rocks. Leading 7-3, and they want to talk this one over. They can get a first down at the Galesburg 15-yard line. And the Streaks' third down defense this year, we've talked about their struggles on offense trying to convert, but their third down defense, 32.2%. So they're doing a pretty good job defensively in that category, and they've got third and long for the Rock Island Rocks here.
Yeah, and it's a dangerous spot because the punt is not an option here.
True.
So really, Rock Island has two plays to get this. The field goal we have already seen isn't an option. If they weren't going to kick it with the wind before, they're not going to kick it here right now. So absolutely two plays for the Streaks. So it is a third down conversion, but they're not coming off the field after a third down on this one. They're going to have to stay out there for two.
Well, Tyler O'Neill homered again.
I would check that guy's bat and other things.
Yes.
He'd be tested in many ways.
2-0 Cardinals in the fourth. 7-3 Rock Island coming out of the timeout here. Third and 18 for the Rocks. Reverse. Handoff and a flip on the reverse, and he drops the ball. Tongo scoops it up at the 40, and the Streaks tackle him and take him down there with the whistles bringing the play to a halt.
Now maybe they do punt with a loss like that.
Back to the 40-yard line. They lose seven more as the reverse does not work with Tongo juggling the ball.
And I do see a change in big engine personnel out there for the Rocks. So, yeah, I would still play defense. You're not going to really gain much here. It's a good time to throw a block on even because you've got 25 yards. Even if you make a mistake, you're still going to be okay. But it looks like we are going to line up in a punt return.
You know, watching that return, or excuse me, that reverse, we had three guys in position. Our backside held. BCR, boot counter reverse, we were in position for it.
Shanked it.
Yep, down the middle of the field, though.
Good bounce.
And
good
a
bounce.
Big Rock Island roll. They got exactly what they needed out of it, down to the 7-yard line with 9:10 to go in the first half where the Streaks take over. Again, the defense bends a little bit. They hang in there and down 4 with 9:10 to go in the half. Well, they've denied the big play. Rock Island said the one long big play, the 63-yard touchdown run. Other than that,
and Sean talked about it.
Run off some long ones, but the Streaks have held.
Yeah, I think we've settled in a bit, right? We're used to, as Sean talked about, the speed of the ball game. We're settled in a little bit. Now it's time to get some offensive stuff moving here. Trying to get things established on offense because we haven't really done much of that besides a couple of big pass plays to speak of.
And a pass interference helped out.
And a pass interference, right.
And again, Streaks moving with the wind now from south to north. They'll go on the ground, getting to the outside, Aguirre, and bounces out of bounds. Right at about the 15-yard line. Good gain on first down. They're going to mark him out at the 14, so he still picks up 7 on first down. Takes a little bit of pressure out of the deep aspect of the field.
Jake, that play was right in front of you. Talk about the blocking of our tight ends.
Yeah, it's just that's what I've been talking about the last 2 weeks, what we're able to do there. Our tight ends are able to stay engaged. And it allows our running backs to get down the sideline, and that's exactly what happened there. It just wasn't enough space, you know, running to the short side of the field, or Cam could have maybe extended that play even more. But Hunter DeVina with a great seal.
Keep it out of the gun, Legate. The handoff to Aguirre runs to the right side this time, now cuts it up at the 15, gets to the 16.
I think he's a little short by my
eye. I think he's
a
little short, too. Let's see where they place the ball down once the pile is uncovered.
Right on the 16-yard line.
So 3rd and 1 for the Streaks.
I'd go hard count here, see if you can get a cheapie.
Aguirre carried 13 on his first of the night. Before he ran off that previous play for 7, he had -1 in his last 4 carries. Credit to the Rock Island defense for making the adjustment after he ran off a couple healthy plays. Streaks will go on the ground on third down, getting to the outside. Aguirre still tracking, and he gets to the outside at about the 18-yard line, a couple yards past the first down marker. Patient run by Aguirre, but he kept moving downfield, and he's going to come out of play. Amari Richardson checks in on a new set of downs for the Silver Streaks at the 18.
Coach Blackwell, extremely animated there with Cam, again, trying to encourage getting up in the pocket a little bit sooner and not bouncing. It went for a positive play, but these coaches are trying to work on these guys. So you see, it looks like Amari Richardson gonna give Cam a break, have a little conversation, get Cam right back in.
7:48 and counting in the half. Streaks down 7-3. Maybe a change in the play call here. Little adjustment, back to pass Legate on first down. Going long, man-to-man coverage, Mikey Eicher.
Ooh.
Had a hand on it, couldn't come up with it. Good defensive coverage downfield by Marion Anderson as well. Just good man-to-man battle. And again, Eicher got a hand on it, just couldn't bring it in second down.
Tristan, it's just too much air. There's too much air under it. And when you're trying to put loft on it, that's when you start to get a wobble in your football. He needs to drive that ball a little bit more. But he's seeing tight coverage on his receivers, and he likes their chances. So I knew as soon he took a look at Mikey's coverage, and I knew as soon that's where he was going. And it's not a bad choice. The ball has just been a little off right now, and I think it's just too much air under that thing.
I think it needs to be a little more freeling with it.
A little freewheeling.
Just go with it. We're going to keep it on the ground this time. Up the middle goes the play to the 20. Amari Richardson on the carry, maybe just short of the 20. It'll be short. Short gain, 3rd and long for the Streaks, about 3rd and 8 here.
I'd expect the Rocks to come with pressure here, and you know, some sort of screen to Hunter Davina, maybe across the middle would be in order to counteract that.
Seven minutes to go, first half. Eicher will line up wide right. Drea Gypsyako has the short side of the field to the left, with Richardson lined up next to Legate. Back to pass, Tristan. Throws it upfield and behind Dre, who went too far downfield past the 40. And by the time he turned around and looked, the ball was 5 yards behind him where it was thrown. And coverage, had he stopped sooner,
he could have had it. Tristan expected him to.
Yeah, miscommunication, so I think, on that.
Yeah, there's a miscommunication there. You know, that could either be called or it could be a read where Tristan is looking at the defender, Dre's looking at the defender. In college and pros, that can be a read play. I think that's a called play, and one or the other mistook the call.
All right, Rock Island put pressure on a previous punt attempt by Hunter Davina. He's standing at his own 7 for the snap. Good snap. Gets the kick off. A spinner and a wobbler to the far side. Bounces at the 47. Big Gillsburg bounce down inside the 30. Inside, close to the 20.
Well,
it trickles across the 25-yard line to the 24. And he got a good 15 yards of roll, 15-plus out of roll. And that flips the field enough. Gives the defense a chance here with the Rocks taking over at their own 26.
Yeah,
6:38 to go first half.
He's doing a good job of not kicking it right to their receiver. I know that sounds like a simple thing, but when you're punting the ball in the face of a rush, that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But right now, the punts have been effective here for Gillsburg.
Yeah, I think he had that rush on him, and he felt that. Yeah. So I think it was a matter of, I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm just getting it out of here.
Yeah. Rock Island leading 7-3. Take over on down, or take over here after the punt. 6:38 to go, first half. Out of the gun, and
speed
it's
option.
Allen who stays in on the option. Pitches it to the outside.
Outstanding
play. And a good read by the Silver Streaks defense. Goes absolutely nowhere. Nolan Carl stuck right with Xander George and tackles him at the 24 for a loss of a couple.
That technique's called a slow play.
Yeah.
You just sit there and you don't commit. You respect the running back, but you're sitting on a quarterback waiting for him to pitch it. And Nolan Carl was able to play both. He slowed down the quarterback enough to pitch it, and he's able to come off and make a tackle as well. Outstanding play.
Sorry, it was at the 24, so no gain. Second and 10, still at the 24 of the Rock Island Rocks. Halfway through quarter number 2, out of the gun.
Uh-oh.
Allen
middle.
Slings it across the middle. Complete to Kai Rios in double coverage, and he reels it in backpedaling, and it's a first down Rocks at midfield at the 50.
That's a good play. You've got linebacker coverage, and Damian's there. He just isn't able to get his head turned around and find the football. If he does, he's in a position, actually, to defend that pass. But as it is, he's chasing Rios, and he's just not able to see the ball coming. It goes right over his shoulder.
Yes, the free release. Not hit off the line of scrimmage. He's
another pass play to Rios across the middle. Goes a gain of 4 at about the 46-yard line of the Silver Streaks. Gillsburg was ready for that one. Davina in on the tackle. Damian Thomas again. Second and, I guess, they'll give him a gain of 3 instead. So second and 7.
Yeah, Rios is a nice weapon for Rock Island, and they're certainly going to use him, especially when you got a backup quarterback. What better target to throw at 6'4", big number 88. It's pretty easy pitch and catch.
He has all 4 of their receptions, and now the Streaks call a second defensive timeout with 5:04 to go in the half. Trailing 7-3, you're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
Staying at home more than you'd like these days? Let RP Lumber help you make your home your happy place. With our best service, best value promise, we can set you up with all the tools, hardware, and advice you need to spruce up your space. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com.
Gillsburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Gillsburg, and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com.
Join us for the next Bohannon Show with Dan Juergen. We'll look at the latest in the energy markets and where those gas prices are going. The next Bohannon Show. We'll see you here.
Tonight after the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
5:04 to go in the first half. Rock Island leading Gillsburg 7-3. Streaks call a defensive timeout. Second and 7, Rocks from the Silver Streaks 47-yard line. For the backup quarterback, Jonte Allen, staying in the game out of the gun. They keep it on the ground on the left side. Now back up to the middle. Xander George got to the outside, then cut it upfield right into the arms of Jayshon Parks, who stacks him up, pushes him sideways, keeps him 3 yards short of the first down. It'll be 3rd and 3.
Yeah, something, you know, Coach Blackwell saw something he did not like defensively. Went to the timeout, and even after timeout, Jake, you probably saw him down there yelling to get Xander Van Dyke to the other side of the ball.
What I'm seeing is the adjustment looks like Hunter Davina lining up over number 88.
3rd and 3. Oh, the quarterback keeper, he pump fakes and carries it across the first down marker to the 37-yard line. So under pressure in the backfield, pump fake, that allowed him to get it free up enough, and he picks up 6 and a new set of downs for Rock Island on a big third down conversion.
You know, if Hunter Davina is going to move on to the next level, he will learn that you don't fall for that pump fake. He left his feet on it, and the guy went right around him.
Out of the gun, handoff on the ground. Quantarian Brooks to the outside, and the Streaks hold him for a gain of 5 to the 27, maybe 4. 3:49 and counting, winding down the clock. Rock Island with 2 timeouts remaining as they move deeper into Galesburg territory.
The Streaks getting the football when we do return here for the second half. Hopefully able to get one more possession at this, stopping here on downs.
2nd and 6 after the gain of 4. Allen possibly changing the play call. He's going to keep the play on the ground to Brooks. Bounces off his own man, ran into him from the backside. Still picks up 5 across the 30 to the 29. He'll be a yard short of the first down, maybe 2.
He gets up hobbling. Brooks does. Looks like he's going to stay in the game, however.
Watch the tight end here.
Talking about Rios?
Yeah.
He's the one we've been talking about all night.
They missed a jump.
Movement.
Okay.
Now movement. So a 5-yard penalty coming against Rock Island.
False start against Rock Island.
Streaks with their little patented shift move.
Yep.
Which we've seen go against us a couple times. You know, they are able to verbalize a time to shift. And right there, it does get the Rock Island left tackle to jump.
So that moves it back to 3rd and 7 now, back to the 34-yard line with 2:40 and counting here in the second quarter. Rock Island leading 7-3. Turns left, now rolls right. Allen under pressure. Flag down in the backfield. Passes complete to Rios. Skips a man. He scores. But there's a flag down in the backfield. As the pressure from Aaron Carl going after the quarterback, and there's the holding call, and it negates a Rock Island touchdown for the second time in this game.
Yeah, that flag came out before the ball even left the quarterback's hand.
Yep.
I watched Rios the entire time on that, so I missed the hold. But what Rios did, we had him covered. It's just his physical strength. He Cannon's there. He bounces off Cannon, adjusts his route, and then is just, you know, more athletic than the defensive secondary right now. So, yeah, if things, you know, Rock Island keeps shooting themselves in the foot right now, some big penalties taking some plays away, but we still have to figure this out with number 88. That's something I'm sure they'll be talking about here at halftime. Now,
he's,
I think, number
here.
88 lines up the whitest receiver on the bottom of trips on the left side.
Identify.
Takes it back to the 44-yard line, and a deep drop and a screen, and it's underthrown, incomplete, intended for Brooks. And that'll be 4th down.
And again, here comes the punting unit on a drive.
Yep.
On a drive where we were, you know, worried Rocky was going to score. We were talking about the time and all that, and now they go to punt.
And Xavier Van Dyke was the one who was with the pressure on the quarterback on that screen play. Because of the pressure, he threw the ball short right at the running back's heels and was not able to convert that. So here we are, 4th down, punting away.
And the Streaks have 2:27, assuming that they do get the punt here.
Rios does everything. He's the long snapper on the Rock Island punt team.
Cam McGuire standing back inside the 20.
There's
the rush is on, and a very short kick. A very short kick. Bounces at the 35, and then takes a sideways roll and then creeps back forward to the 35-yard line. So it went 2 yards back inside the 35 and then rolled forward again. And the Streaks get pretty decent field position.
Jake,
a punt net of 9.
Did we get a finger on that, you think?
I don't think so, but the rush definitely affected the punt, and he shanked it. I mean, it was just a complete off the side of the foot. I don't think we touched it. We kind of brushed the punter, but not enough to get a flag from the officiating crew. To me, it didn't look like any kind of a block, but we were close.
It just came off odd.
Yeah.
All right, so the pressure pays off. Streaks, not great field position, but under the circumstances, about as good as it could come away with here, short of blocking the punt. First down from the 35, a timeout remaining with 2:17 to go in the first half, down 4. Legate back to pass on first down. Going long for Dre.
Ooh,
and just outside of his outstretched arms, about a yard too deep inside the Rock Island 30. Incomplete second down.
Now you got to be careful here. You know,
yeah.
You take that shot, that's fine. Rock Island still with some timeouts left. I'm going to run the ball here and at least make them use them. I don't want to kick the ball to Rock Island with any kind of time here. So don't be too greedy. You do get the ball back, and that's why you have the opportunity here not to be so greedy.
But, Jake, talking about that throw was different than what we've seen from
Tristan.
Throw. He threw it out there and let the receiver run to it, where the ones previously have been kind of underthrown or not thrown as well.
Kind of lollipops. He drove that one.
He did.
Second and 10 from the 35. On the ground, Aguirre trying to bounce to the outside, cuts upfield across the 35, gain of a couple. Let's see if Rock Island uses a timeout. They have a couple remaining here with over 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. Gain of only 2. It'll be 3rd and 8. Rock Island not using a timeout. Clock rolls. Minute 50, still counting. 3rd and 8 Silver Streaks from their own 37-yard line.
Yeah, I'd be pretty deliberate here with what I was doing.
Yep.
Let this thing run.
Aguirre, 10 carries, only 32 yards on the night. That's how well Rock Island has contained him after he broke off a 13-yard run on the first play of the game. First play of offense for the Silver Streaks, rather. 3rd and 8 Streaks. Back to pass Legate. Little pressure from the backside. Rolling right. Now throws on the run to nobody inside the Rock Island 40-yard line. Closest receiver there on the far side was Alex Boffman, but it was underthrown by about 5 yards, and that stops the clock with a minute 21 to go in the half, and the Streaks will have to punt. And again, Rock Island with 2 timeouts remaining.
Nolan Carl got separation at the sideline. I don't think Tristan saw him. He was first down distance, first down range for that.
And just to be completely candid there, I still think that we should have put the ball on the ground or in the hands of one of our running backs and run that down, force Rock Island to use a timeout. Hopefully we get another good punt away from this returner.
Davina scoops it up as it skips on the ground. He gets a boomer away despite big pressure from Rock Island.
Come on,
and it shoots downfield into the end zone. It took a big bounce inside the 20. Hunter blasted one into the air.
That's a 70-yard punt, fellas.
63.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of it on roll, but to do that under the pressure that he was under, fielding a ground ball basically back there, picking that thing up, and then getting that punt off, very impressive. So Rocks, at least they're going to have to go 80 yards, but they got a minute 11. We didn't force them to use, let's see, what do they have, 2 timeouts left.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, with their big play capability with 88 and one out there, it's just something that I'm concerned about here, getting a score before the half.
Yeah. Mikey Eicher lined up man-to-man defense against Rios on the near side. 2 running backs in the backfield, and they'll play it on the ground.
Nice tackle.
And a very short gain on first down, maybe to the 21, and Rock Island calls a timeout. They got it to Brooks, and the Streaks were ready for him. So that stops the clock with a minute 5 to go. That takes 6 seconds off the clock, 2nd and 9. Again, coming up at halftime, we'll find out what used to be called the 21st Century Program and a little bit more about what's going on with that at Galesburg High
School.
Absolutely.
You know, where the funding comes from for this after-school program, which is designed for mostly first-year and second-year students at the high school. But they do offer tutoring, which anybody can go to. About 2 hours after school, students can go. There's the ability to get the tutoring that's there. There are teachers available. And then you have enrichment where programs are established by different teachers of things that maybe Mr. Ellison as an art teacher brings in, and he has clay club or other things that they can do.
You used to do one of those.
We did. It was a board game one, but we hedge at that right now because of the time with COVID and the manipulation of cards or whatever it might be and the touching and things. So we don't have that going now. But, it's that's the enrichment portion of that. Usually about 2 hours after school for kids to go and take advantage of some tutoring, get grades up, as well as the enrichment that's provided.
Hear more about that coming up at halftime. 1:05 to go before that. Back to pass on second down. Allen to the far side. Pass complete to Rios and upend. I think they kept him in bounds.
I think so, too.
At the 35-yard line. So the clock will stop to move the chains. Goes as a gain of 14 and a new set of downs. Jake, did you say no?
Yeah, I saw him with his hands up, but I forgot it was the first down thing, though. So, yeah, he's got to stop the clock on a first down, but it should be running right now if he was tackled in bounds. They should be setting it.
Yeah, the side judge is pushing with his hands back to show it was out of bounds.
Gotcha. First down from the 35, 58.7 seconds on the second quarter clock. Allen back to pass. Pressure on from the left side, steps around it. Now throws it downfield, out of bounds on the far side. 51.3 seconds to go. Second and 10 rocks
and
from
flag.
The 35. Oh.
We're going to have a penalty on Aaron Carl. Looks like perhaps a late hit.
Late
I didn't
hit.
Really see it. But
he had him on pressure from the backside. Personal foul against the Streaks. So that is not helpful at all.
Nope.
That's going to go as a 15-yarder. That'll take it to midfield. Rocks have hurt themselves with penalties, mostly on offense. But that 15-yarder, the third penalty against the Silver Streaks tonight, is going to give the Rocks the ball at midfield. And again, 51.3 seconds remaining in the half. Rocks leading 7-3. And one timeout remaining for Rock Island as well. Nose of the football right at the 50. On the far hash mark. Three wideouts to the right. One to the left. Single setback lined up behind the quarterback, Jonte Allen. Rolling right. The runner leads as a blocker. He throws long. Downfield into double coverage.
Nice play.
And a good defensive stop by Mikey Eicher as the receiver. Marion Anderson came back for the ball. And Eicher just came up over his shoulder from the backside and poked it away right as it was coming to him.
A little nervous there at first because that ball was in his hands.
Yep.
Mikey does a good job of attacking those hands as the ball comes in, and he's able to knock that thing out. Now, his helmet comes off. That receiver I'm watching here, he's got to come off for a play, and there he goes. He's going to the sideline, who is the second favorite target out here, above Rios. But, great play there from Mikey. He's in good position. And he attacks hands and does it perfectly.
43.1 seconds. Second and 10, Rock Island from the 50. Now they stack the three receivers up to the left side, the shorter side of the field, with a single wide out lining up right to the near side. He stops short. The pass goes left and long and complete to Tongo, close to the 30-yard line of the Silver Streaks, and they're going to mark it right at the 30 for a gain of 20. Tongo broke off the big run for the touchdown earlier. Go ahead, Jake.
Streaks have a timeout. I'd like him to call one here right now and just kind of set things up. The clock's already stopped. I don't think it'd be any kind of an advantage for Rock Island if they did.
Yep, 37.8 seconds.
Bunched up again, three receivers.
To the right side this time, and a whistle and a flag down at the 30-yard line of the near side.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay. Is that the encroachment sign?
Looked like
I guess I didn't see it.
But he pointed Rock Island's way.
Yeah.
So we're just they're
so
just
they
lined
up. Lined up offsides. So that bunch, I don't know where they were. I got a bad angle to see. So somebody in that bunch formation of the three receivers was. He's close again right there, Jake. Look at him.
Mm-hmm. Seventh penalty against the Rocks.
Called again.
In this first half, 67 yards.
And there it is.
And there it is. They do call it. They sure do. You're looking at the receiver lined up on the right side there?
Yeah, 21.
So that's going to be five more.
Desmond Woodson.
72 yards in penalties in the first half against Rock Island. And they've had a couple big ones that have negated touchdowns twice. So now it's back to the Galesburg 40, first and 20 with 37 seconds remaining. Back to pass, Allen. Short drop, pass to the far side, complete to Marion Anderson, and he runs out of bounds just at the original line of scrimmage. So he gets the 10 penalty yards back, and it'll be second and 10 at the 30.
Just don't fall for the double moves. There's been a lot of short ones here on this drive.
Took about 5 seconds off the clock. Next play gets off at 32. Rolling right. Allen rolling. Throws near sideline. Juggled by Rios out of bounds. So that one's incomplete. Yeah. Didn't have control of it. So incomplete. Third and 10 with 25 seconds to go.
Good call there by that official. He had the ball in his hands with a foot down, but there was just one little bobble, bobble that caught him. And high school football, without the benefit of replay, sometimes that gets missed. Good job there. And, of course, being right on the Galesburg sideline with the coaching staff right there in his ear, that also helped him on that call.
Helped us, too, because he was facing our direction.
Yeah.
Third and 10 from the 30. 25 seconds to go in the half. Rock Island trying to add to a four-point lead.
Crosser.
Time across the middle. Batted away from Rios. Thrown a little behind him. But Cam McGuire was there for a little defensive pressure. Falls incomplete, and it's fourth and 10.
The ball's behind him because Jeremiah Morris and Aaron Carl were converging. And that kid had to get rid of that ball a little sooner than he would have liked to. That crosser route, though, for Rios is dangerous. Cam McGuire could have jumped that route, but seeing that big body come across and makes him think twice to do that.
So they'll go for it on fourth down. Rock still with a timeout remaining if they can convert with 20 seconds to go here in the half.
Wheel.
Back to pass. Pressure. Steps up in the pocket. And the stop is made by the Silver Streaks defense. Allen couldn't get rid of the ball. And they give it up on downs. Van Dyke, Aaron Carl there for the stop. And they take him down back at the 36-yard line.
Yeah, and the obvious pass plays, I like our defensive rush. You know, when they know that they can pin their ears back and go, it's only a matter of time before Aaron Carl's going to get there, or Jeremiah Morris or Xavier. I mean, we got so many guys that can get back there and do that. So the Streaks definitely have a heads up in that regard.
So the Streaks take over with 14 seconds to go at their own 36-yard line. And it looks for all the world like we'll go into the half with the Streaks down three. Again, Rock Island scored on the first play from scrimmage, a 63-yard touchdown run. And the defense has held the Rocks since then. And the Streaks do line up in traditional formation. The handoff to Aguirre tries to get to the outside, and Rock Island aggressively with the tackling, trying to maybe pop that ball loose. He'll pick up two, and that'll be the half. 7-3, Rocks, it's homecoming at Van Dyke Field, and the Streaks head to the locker room down four. What's good at Galesburg halftime? Our weekly halftime interview, Sean Icke with Sarah Gray and Streaks principal Tom Hawkins. When we come back, a word from the coaching staff, a look at the first half statistics and second half action with the Streaks down 7-3 at the break. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
Don't let getting your hands on building materials be the thing that keeps you from landing that next big job. RP Lumber has the hardware, tools, and building materials to help you knock out one project after another. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber, we keep you building.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
When you're talking about any kind of building project, you can't just walk outside and start digging, but you can call Courtright Construction right now and get on top of their list. Site prep is one of their specialties. Trust the pros at Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
Go get them, Silver Streaks. This is Jeff Klink from Galesburg Nissan, reminding everyone Galesburg Nissan has the area's largest and nicest rental car fleet, an awesome detail shop, Galesburg Car Care, and we are driven to create customers for life. A free lifetime warranty with no gimmicks. Every fifth oil change is free for life, and a free loaner car for life. Galesburg Nissan, Galesburg Nissan Car Rental, Galesburg Car Care, and Galesburg Nissan Pre-Owned Auto Center all say, let's go Streaks.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? the largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call for the right policy and save money. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered showers, even thunderstorms. Overnight low 65. For tomorrow night and Sunday, remaining mostly cloudy with showers, thunderstorms possible. High of 80 tomorrow, a low of 63 tomorrow night, and Sunday a high of 75. It's 68 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks halftime report. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.
Welcome to the Galesburg Rock On Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey in this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. As always, we have Principal Tom Hawkins with us, but this week's spotlight is on 21st Century. Let's start with 21st Century and site coordinator Sarah Gray. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So if you could tell us a little bit about 21st Century, where does the funding come from for this?
Okay, so funding is actually handed out for the Department of Education, as most educational grants are. It's given to each state who applies for a grant, and then those grants are given to, like, the Illinois State Board of Education, who handles ours, and then the ROE in the Galesburg area, so ROE 33, manages our grant for us.
Okay, so we get the understanding of where the money comes from. Now tell us a little bit about what the program does.
So initially the programs were created back in like the 60s and 70s as the War on Poverty to help kids in low-income areas meet standards, provide after-school care and education for students that might not necessarily get it otherwise with funding. So now we've kind of grown into this program that meets after school, and we work with kids on tutoring to meet, you know, standards and state subjects where we're lacking. And then we also provide enrichment for those families that we serve as well.
Sounds good. So who are the target students for this program?
So here at GHS, we target 9th and 10th grade students. That is how our grant's written. But obviously, if we have students who are struggling in 11th and 12th grade and we have tutoring available after school, I'm not going to turn those students away, obviously. We want every kid at GHS to be successful, and so while we do focus on 9th and 10th grade families first and their students, we will never turn away an 11th and 12th grade family.
So those are the students who are targeted. How do they end up with your program?
So every 9th and 10th grade advocacy receives emails from me on how to refer their students. Kids can just come after school. We're in the Commons area. That's where we start every day at 2:45. And then our different programs that we have going will come and grab those kids that are going to do those programs. We have a referral process, so counselors can refer a kid to us, a teacher can refer a kid to us, and then kids can just come themselves and self-identify, yes.
Sounds good. Thank you. So what types of activities are provided by the program other than the tutoring?
So a majority of the after-school programming that happens here at Galesburg High School funnels through, and we've kind of changed our name from 21st Century to Streaks After Hours because I felt like 21st Century was a lot. So we just kind of call ourselves Streaks After Hours at this point. We have an art club with Mr. Ellison. We have a book club, Fearlessly Girl Leadership Club. We're going to start a cold case file and STEM with Miss Ettinger. We also have Campus Crew that does all the posters that you may have seen down in the cafeteria for this week's homecoming. We're going to start peer tutoring this year. We have tutoring after school. Homework Hub is just a quiet place for you to come and do your homework after school with us. We also have family engagement events. So last month in September, we did a back-to-school bash and provided tickets for families to the home football game as well as a free meal. In October, we're going to focus on SAT. We're going to focus on financial aid because financial aid opens October 1st today. So we really want our families to understand what financial aid is, how to do it, and then we'll tie it into some kind of fun family activity for October.
And that discussion about financial aid is a good plug for a person we have coming up in the next couple of weeks with Mr. Bredemeyer. So thank you for that. So does 21st Century have any upcoming events you'd like to discuss?
As I mentioned earlier, we do have in October, and as soon as we get all the details ironed out, we'll get that information to our students, staff, and families. October will be the financial aid. We're also going to talk about GAVC. Sandberg Scholarships open today, too, on October 1st, so it's important for families to understand what opportunities are available to their students when they graduate from high school, and it's never too early to start thinking about those things. November, our plan is to do a meal prep night in Miss Foster's new kitchen. So we'll allow families to come in, prep some meals. We'll do an educational kind of activity with it. And then families can take some meals home to help them through the busy holiday season. December, we're planning kind of I know we do it at the grade school level, but we're going to try a family holiday science night. Again, with free food, some activities for families to get involved in. And anything that our program does or anything that we provide is always free to every student and family that attends.
Outstanding. Again, that was Miss Sarah Gray for the 21st Century Club here at Galesburg High School. Miss Gray, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Now let's talk with Principal Tom Hawkins. Mr. Hawkins, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sean, thank you for having me again.
So if you could, tell us about the excitement from the past week.
Well, I'm going to start with last Saturday. You know, once again, our marching band, the Galesburg Marching Streaks, they went on to another competition. They went up to Geneseo at the Geneseo Marching Band competition. And our Marching Streaks, you know, they swept all the awards in their division again and were crowned grand champions. So we're really proud of our Galesburg Marching Streaks and the work that they continue to do. You know, this week has been great. We've had many homecoming activities going on. You know, students and staff participating in the dress-up days. I think my favorite day was Tuesday, which was 80s Day. You know, seeing all the concert T-shirts show up at school. And, you know, and students attempting to tight-roll the bottoms of their blue jeans. That was quite entertaining. You know, we had a great night of Powder Puff football on Wednesday night. You know, we had a great pep assembly today and a wonderful parade. As always, Galesburg always turns out for the parades. And, you know, really looking forward to our homecoming dance tomorrow night. You know, with COVID, we've rented two tents to hold the event in a kind of a semi-outside venue. You know, our hope is that this doesn't dampen the spirit of the event.
Which leads to the Night Under the Stars theme, which helps out with that, too, to have that outside. So if you could, tell us a little bit about what we have coming up next week.
Well, you know, next week is the first week of October, and, you know, and October in education is always kind of an important month. You know, it's a national anti-bullying month. You know, that's we got to admit that bullying has never really disappeared, and it's something that, you know, with the onset of social media is really hard to, you know, identify at times. And so we need a whole community effort in, you know, looking at ways of stomping out bullying in our schools, you know, so that, you know, and in regards to our school improvement, we're continuing with school improvement efforts. We have another meeting next week and, you know, we're just getting that started and that's really been important.
So with the kids back in school, now we've been seeing the construction still going on, but that's not so much during the day in the main instructional areas, but in some other areas. So if you could give us a little update of what's going on with the construction of the school.
Well, after students and staff leave on a daily basis, the crews come in at second shift time, and you know, they are, you know, they keep installing ceilings in areas that, you know, were semi-finished, and also they're right now we are real close to having our whole upstairs completely tiled, so that's really exciting. Also, students might come in every day and notice that there are new whiteboards that are being installed inside of classrooms, and that's really actually making teachers, you know, really excited to see that.
Well, Mr. Hawkins, thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you. And if I could do one more thing, if you don't mind, today, October 1st, I'd like to wish my mom a happy birthday. You know, she has watched a ton of football out here at Van Dyke Field.
She has. You're absolutely right. Well, that's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Again, that was 21st Century Site Coordinator Sarah Gray and Principal Hawkins. I'd like to thank them for the time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against the Rock Island Rocks on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The top stories of the day and so much more. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
Galesburg and Monmouth now have community hygiene pantries that are available to help those in need with about any hygiene product you could think of.
The Galesburg location operates out of the Broad Street Armory, while the Mammoth spot is in the Jameson Center. Deanna Trout says she started the pantries after discovering that you're not allowed to purchase hygiene products with Link. They're holding a hygiene product drive in the Dollar Tree parking lot on Monday after 4:30 p.m. An Illinois State Police trooper has been shot on the Dan Ryan Expressway on Chicago's south side. Chicago Fire Department spokesman Larry Langford says the shooting happened shortly before 2 p.m. Friday afternoon on the inbound side of the expressway at 43rd Street. He says the trooper was taken to the University of Chicago Medical Center, where he's being treated for a critical gunshot wound. The shooting comes on the same day that state police started beefing up patrols on expressways in response to a rash of shootings on the roadways. I'm Cameron Lyne. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's News.
Fox News, I'm Kathleen Maloney. A personal pitch by President Biden on Capitol Hill fails to advance an infrastructure bill in the House.
Democrats who hoped for a vote on the bipartisan bill left that meeting with the president feeling very disappointed. One source described it as a moment of the highest expectations and the lowest of results.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich, the president expressing confidence that his domestic agenda will get done, but offering no timeline. The Supreme Court refuses to block a vaccine mandate for New York City public school employees.
And now all 148,000 teachers and staff members that work for the New York City public school system, the largest in the country, must be vaccinated. Those that are unvaccinated come Monday morning will be on paid leave.
Fox's Brian Yenis. America is listening to Fox News.
Standing at the end of the driveway, surveying the cracks, you imagine how much nicer your house would look with a new concrete driveway. For any and all jobs involving concrete, consult the experts at Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next concrete project.
Oh, good. It's my favorite time of year.
Pumpkin spice latte season.
No, it's get dark early season. Or I can't go anywhere because I can't see at night season.
Here's an idea. Why don't you get that checked out at Kehoe?
Feel like you can't see when you drive at night? The experts at Kehoe Eye Care use state-of-the-art technology to determine the cause of your night blindness. Get the help you deserve with an appointment at Kehoe Eye Care in Galesburg or Monmouth.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Having bad credit doesn't mean it's the end of the road for you in your car buying journey. There are many car buyers with bad credit who qualify for financing on both new and used through YEM's credit acceptance program. This is Brandon Kinney from YEM in Galesburg. Whether you've been through bankruptcy, foreclosure, or have late or missed payments in your credit history, YEM can help get you approved. If your credit challenges have prevented you from buying a new vehicle, stop in soon and give us a chance to help with our credit acceptance program at YEM.
Is your water heater looking old, making weird noises? It's time to cut the cord and replace that old water heater with a new one from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. This is Neil Thomas. Never worry again about waking up without hot water, or worse yet, a ruptured water heater tank. Enjoy the comfort of knowing you have a dependable water heater for years to come with a full warranty that's been installed by a qualified, licensed plumber. For a free quote, call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today at 342-4328. That's 342-HEAT.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Halftime at Van Dyke Field at FNM Bank Stadium. Streaks are back out. Ah, there's Jake Miller. He is with assistant coach Rob Hall. Let's go down to him now. Let's find out what the team talked about in the locker room, Jake.
All right, Coach Hall. Obviously, in the first half, you know, that the thing that stuck out as far as what Rock Island was doing offensively is get the ball to Rios. You know, I don't want to postulate anything here, but what was the discussion in the halftime about making adjustments on how do we keep the ball out of his hand? Is it about pressure on the quarterback, and you know, maybe shifting a guy or two over on him?
Well, I mean, no, it wasn't focused on Rios. It was basically us getting the line. I mean, we're playing good ball right now. So, I mean, what we're doing schematically is you know, doing what it is. We just got to make sure we're consistent in the line and getting the lined up in the proper form so we can even do it better the second half.
Yeah, we saw a couple timeouts, I think, and guys, you know, not in the right spots. Coach, offensively, you know, getting things going offensively right now is a bit of a struggle. I know with an injury or two that caused us problems there. But what was the talk there offensively in terms of getting the running game going? We want to throw the ball more. You know, what's the look there?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Kane makes his necessary adjustments where we want to run and throw, just blocking the right people, blocking them to the whistle, and completing the passes.
Okay, I appreciate your time, Coach. Good luck in the second half.
No problem. Have a good one.
Thanks, as always, to Assistant Coach Rob Hall joining us here at halftime for a halftime coaches interview brought to you by Yem Auto Group on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Yem also sponsoring our halftime statistics. Here we go. Silver Streaks only 25 yards of offense on the ground, 34 of those to Cameron Aguirre, the other two to Omari Richardson. Tristan Legate got sacked for a loss of 11, accounting for the lower number. Meanwhile, Legate passing just 2 for 7 in the first half, 64 yards. Streaks with only 89 yards of total offense. A 37-yard reception for Dre Egyptiaku and a 27-yard catch for Mikey Eicher. For Rock Island, 1, 2, 3, 4 different players carried the ball. 18 runs for 133 yards on the ground. Eli Reese, we have confirmed, and our thanks to Garrett Rao and the coaching staff. The number is different, but the quarterback is the same. It is Eli Reese. Not a different player on the roster who is also listed as a quarterback. Reese is 8 for 13 passing for 92 yards. 61 of those to Kai Rios on 5 receptions. 2 catches for Darius Tongo for 21 yards and Marion Anderson with a 10-yard catch. The real story of the first half may be the penalty yards. Rock Island, 8 flags for 72 yards, has just killed several of their drives, and they've had 2 touchdowns called back on penalties. Silver Streaks penalized 3 times for 32 yards, and Galesburg will have the ball to start the second half, trailing 7-3. Take a look at our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Sterling leading Quincy 14-6 at last check there, trying to find a more recent update than what we had there. It's halftime, actually. Sterling leading 24-6. Which is probably more along the lines of what we'd expected, having seen both of those two teams. Geneseo shut out Alleman 48-0, and I haven't seen a score on the Moline UT game yet. Rock Ridge defeated Morrison 27-8. In St. Louis, the Cardinals now trailing the Cubs 3-2. Chicago scored 3 times in the top of the 6th. Plenty of time. Tyler O'Neill still has a couple. In fact, he's batting right now with 2
great.
Home runs
here he
in
comes
the game.
Again.
And it's a late night at the Fog, just so you all know. Kansas basketball has officially started with their first practice tonight. Just want to make sure everybody's aware of that also. All right, Streaks to get the ball to start off the second half. A 38-yard field goal by Sam Satiski into the wind is their only score tonight. And a very short kick on the opening of the second half and taken at the 20-yard line by Dre Egyptiaco, who it looked for all the world like he put the hand out there for a fair catch, and the officials saw the same thing, and Dre acting like he doesn't know what they're talking about. But
looked like it to me.
It seemed pretty clear from up here. So that's how the second half starts. Streaks will have it at the 20, trailing by 4, looking to get some offense going.
Absolutely. You need to get the offense going here because we saw the halftime stats. You just read those off, you know, and to know how far behind we are as in regard to what we've given up. Thank goodness for the Rock Island penalties. You know, I would say that during halftime we talked about what we felt were about 4 drives of theirs that stalled out, and certainly 2 of those drives would have been touchdowns had they not been for penalties. So really they shot themselves in the foot. But our defensive adjusted well. So here we are coming out in the second half to see what adjustments we make.
Out of the gun. Streaks are going to go on the ground for the first play of the second half. And a little play up the middle for Cameron Aguirre, who again was the leading rusher for the Silver Streaks in the first half. 11 carries for 34 yards. He picks up 3 on first down to start the second half.
Yeah, it starts up front. You know, I was just watching Coach Mac Hawkins, you know, very animate here with his O-line. You know, for the first time in about 3 weeks, we've just seen that our guys up front not able to establish themselves. As of yet, you know, there is still time, and they can make adjustments and get things moving.
Get a deluge of points on the board. We'd forget all about that offense in the first half. Second and 7 Streaks from the 23. Out of the gun again. Legate short drop passes complete to Mikey Eicher. Just past the first down marker at the 31-yard line. That should move the chains.
No, they're going to call him short.
Oh, they're going to push him back. We were shielded up here by all the players on the sideline.
Started on the 20 and signal 30, so
there is the first down signal.
I don't teach math, but I think that's how that works.
Nor do I. Pretty confident in that math.
Pretty, yeah.
Second reception of the game for Mikey Eicher for 34 yards.
You know, it starts there on first down. You get 3 yards, that's not a huge gain, but it at least allows us to stay on schedule. And that's all we really need to do right now, get on schedule.
Down 7-3, new set of downs from the 30. On the ground again, Aguirre up the middle, good, running behind his blockers. Gets to the 35 on a hard run, and a good run as the blockers made forward progress, helping push downfield.
Yep. Jake, you talked about in the first half with Coach Blackwell saying, stay in there, and that's a great example right there.
Yeah, I think in the first half he tries to find a way to bounce it, right? And it's, you know, and maybe you get a big gain, or maybe you get stuffed at the line of scrimmage when you do that, but you know you can get five. If you can get five on first down, your offensive playbook just opens up. They can do a lot of things here.
Eicher will run the play in from the sideline and then line up as a receiver to the short side of the field. Egyptiaco to the far side of the field. Two H-backs and a running back as Aguirre. Cuts back up the middle. He'll pick up a hard 3 more yards up to the 38-yard line. He carried a couple of defenders after the initial hit for a gain of 1 and picked up 2 more after the initial contact.
And this, you know, these big boys up front need to find rhythm, too. You know, you talk about getting quarterbacks and running backs, but these guys do that too. And with all these run plays, as we're doing it right now, that's something that'll get them going.
14th carry of the night for Cam Aguirre, 45 yards, 11 of them here on the first 3 plays of the second half. Third and 2 for the Streaks. On the ground, Aguirre to the outside, first down and more. Crosses the 50. A little hesitation move and a first down for the Silver Streaks into Rock Island territory at about the 45-yard line, maybe just inside of that.
Great edge blocking as well as perimeter blocking. We had Boffman downfield that was putting a nice block on that guy, 15 yards down. That allows Aguirre to continue to get upfield and waiting for some guys to pursue, like a free safety, to come over because the corner is not there to turn him back in.
Streaks 3 for 7 on third downs after that big run by Cam Aguirre to pick up 18 on the play down to the Rock Island 44-yard line. Out of the gun, Legate looking to pass, going long down the sideline. Eicher is open, and he's got it. He's got it down at the 5-yard line in double coverage. He hauled it in. First and goal, Silver Streaks.
Little hesitation move there, huh, Sean? I don't think it's like just a full-on double move, but a little hesitation there for Mikey, and great ball there for Tristan. A little wobble, but it's delivered perfectly.
A gain of 40 on the third pass play of the night from Tristan Legate to Mikey Eicher, who's got 74 yards receiving now, and a first and goal. Streaks looking for their first lead of the night.
Yeah, Jake, you're right. It wasn't quite a hitch and go because we didn't see a pump fake from Tristan. But he did, yeah, he just kind of slowed down and took off again.
Out of the gun, handoff Aguirre. Gets to the line of scrimmage, then pushed backward.
Throw a flag.
In fact, he might have even lost.
Sorry about
yard.
That.
Yeah, the whistles were blowing, and the Rock Island defender just kept pushing Aguirre backward. That was Dontrell Powers, and a player is down. Looks like Dre Egyptiaco back at the 8-yard line. And, of course, just joining us, Alex is out. He went out with the shoulder injury in the Quincy game a week ago in the second quarter. And Dre still on the ground. So we'll take a pause here, 8:44 to go. That takes some of the steam out of the Silver Streak sails right now, facing second and goal. When we come back, down 4, 7-3 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by local State Farm agent John Hawkinson, offering home, auto, and life policies to fit your budget and lifestyle. By Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
Staying at home more than you'd like these days? Let RP Lumber help you make your home your happy place with our best service, best value promise. We can set you up with all the tools, hardware, and advice you need to spruce up your space. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com.
Galesburg's News, Galesburg's Talk, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Dre Egyptiaco now getting up off the turf, but will be helped off the field. And that's not a good sign. In fact, he's not putting any weight on the right leg. Jake, you were down there. What were they working on as they were trying to... What were they looking at down there?
The trainer, Brandon's down here, and it was all on his right knee. And as you say, like, he's trying to put a little bit on it right now as he's walking off, but it doesn't look very promising. But, yeah, they were just kind of messing with the right knee, and every time he touched it, you could see some winces of pain, and So hopefully they can get that worked out and see what they got. But another big-time offensive injury here for the Streaks to overcome.
Loss of a yard on the play. Aguirre back to the five. Second and goal for the Streaks. Out of the gun. Legate looking for Boffman. Fires it over his head in the end zone. Incomplete. And it'll be third and goal.
Nice route. Had good separation on that.
So third and goal from the five. Well, Tyler O'Neill only doubled this time. And Lars Nootbaar drives him in to tie the game. Cardinals and Cubs 3-3, bottom of the sixth.
Lars Nootbaar.
Available in the candy aisle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
8:41 to go, third quarter. First drive of the second half. Silver Streaks down four, looking for their first lead of the game. Eicher lines up wide to the right. Handoff.
Nice.
Aguirre got some room to run, and he scores with a little cut across the right side of the line. He went for the outside, then he cut it up the middle, and the Streaks have the first lead of the night.
You know, that's going to be there. When you continue to bounce outside, what we saw against Quincy, we've seen it the first half here. Coach Black was saying, get inside. What happens is a linebacker starts to widen. They think he's going to bounce it out. When he cuts it back, the linebacker's out of position. Great
Sean,
cut there.
Sean, the best part of that play, I don't know if you can see this on the replay, is to watch Jeremiah of Morris's touchdown dance. Because
Yes.
It was fantastic. It was the best thing I've seen all night.
Caught a glimpse of that. Satiski's extra point is good, and the Silver Streaks lead 10-7 with 8:37 to go here in this third quarter.
He had kind of like a train, like a choo-choo train thing going. It was beautiful.
The replay just showed him as far as he was giving a touchdown is what he was showing. He's playing official earlier, or like he was earlier. He was letting us know what happened.
He's the most entertaining player out here to watch, I'm telling you what.
At nine plays, Silver Streaks cover 80 yards in 3 minutes and 27 seconds. The Cam Aguirre 5-yard touchdown run, his third of the season, and his third game in a row, I believe, where Aguirre's found the end zone.
The good news down here, guys, I see Dre up walking around unassisted. Got a little hobble, but he's got his helmet with him still, and he's walking around talking to Coach Kane.
One of Coach Blackwell's sons just hanging on everything.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
He's right there with
you
Derek.
Tell who Cole. His favorite player is. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And that's the thing about high school sports. We tell our guys all the time, man, there's little kids watching you all the time, and you don't even know it. And you can certainly see that playing out right here.
So he'll continue to try to stretch that out. Silver Streaks defense will take over here after Gelsberg gets its first lead of the night on the opening drive of the second half. Up 10-7 now with 8:37 to go in this very important game in terms of the conference standings. These two teams tied for third place coming into tonight. Satiski's kick down the middle of the field. Hangs in the air, taken at the 10. And the run back up the middle.
Nice hit.
And a big hit right at the 30-yard line. And the takedown there by Nolan Carl.
So there the Streaks go away from their game plan early of squibbing that thing, which is usually indicative of better coverage. There the Streaks kick it off traditionally with the wind. Maybe he was hoping to get that thing in the end zone, but the Streaks cover it much better than they've done in recent.
Cox take over at the 30-yard line. And again, we mentioned it as we ran through our statistics. Jake found out from Garrett Rao and the coaching staff that even though the number is different on the Rock Island quarterback, it is their season starter, Eli Reese. And he's back out there out of the gun on first down. Handoff up the middle. Room to run for Brooks, who crosses the 35 to the 36-yard line. Quantarian Brooks, the leading ball carrier in the first half of Rock Island. 6 carries for 76 yards. He ran off a 37-yarder and a 26-yarder, but it was Darius Tongo who had the 63-yard touchdown run. The first play from scrimmage for Rock Island, their only score of the night. Second and four here. Back to pass. Across the far side, coming back for it. A juggling catch, but Rock Island maintains it. But that denies them the first down on that little juggle for Marion Anderson coming back and hauling it in. He'll pick up two out of it. Yeah, now they give him another one, so it's third and one after a gain of three.
Yeah, he had the first down, but like you said, that little bobble, that juggle was enough for him to reestablish his forward progress on the other side of the stick. So Here we are, third down.
Quick snap, handoff on the ground. Brooks hit at the line of scrimmage and gets across the 40 to the 41-yard line. So he was hit initially right at the first down marker and then picked up the extra yard afterward to make it a no-doubter.
The Rock's employing a lot more motion here in this first drive.
Yeah.
You know, seeing something, they're motioning guys, trying to see what they can gain advantage in terms of numbers on which side. Having some success, not big success like we saw in the first half, though.
But up front, we're seeing a lot of the same type of pulling, yeah. The same type of give. So they just might be using the motion as nothing more than to try to establish, like you said, the numbers
Reese
game.
On the option keeper now. He pitches it to the outside to Brooks, who's got the first down up the far sideline and bumped out of bounds down at the Galesburg 40. And
coming
I
back.
Thought Reese was across the line of scrimmage when he tossed that one.
Was the pitch forward?
It was back. No, it was lateral.
Was it backwards?
Yeah, it was a backwards lateral, so he could do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Nolan Carl fell down, which was, you know, that's never good. As he's being the read. So Reese was able to get up in there, but I think there's a hold on the edge.
Yep, yeah, there it
someone
is.
Someone got tackled.
There it is.
One of our defensive players got tackled.
Another Rock Island penalty negates a big play.
But in the first half, we talked about Nolan Carl doing the slow play on that option, you know, and waiting for that quarterback to make a decision. What happened was he got too far upfield to the point where he couldn't cover either one of them. And the quarterback then held on just a split second longer to get past Nolan and then pitch it.
So back to the 40, first and 11, Rock Island. Clock rolling, 6:45 to go, third quarter. Streaks leading by three. Out of the gun, Reese. Rolling right on the option, pitches it again. Juggled in the backfield by Brooks, slips a tackle, now piled upon at the 40. The Streaks didn't let him break free for no gain. And it'll be second and 11.
What I like the most about that, Jake, I know you don't, but anytime you have option, you got to hit the quarterback. Hunter came up and put a nice stick on that guy, and defense swarmed, and not much of a gain there. So one play, the speed option, we didn't do so well, but there was a hold. This time around, we played it very well.
Well, it's interesting how different those two guys play it. Nolan Carl wants to be the athletic slow player.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter Davina just goes straight at the quarterback.
Yep.
All right.
I'm gonna
hit you. So he's going to make him pitch it like probably earlier than he would want to. Again, both ways are effective in their own right.
Yep.
Brooks does get a gain of a yard, second and 10 from the 41. Handoff right up the middle. Boom. Brooks runs into two black jerseys of the Silver Streaks and pushed backward for a short gain. Davina was one of them. I didn't see the other number.
Looked like Cannon Klein.
Cannon Klein, yep. He seemed to be the last guy who came out of there. So they pick up a short two, and it'll be third and eight and a big chance for the Silver Streaks defense here. Try to make an early statement in the second half.
That's a big back.
He is big, yeah.
Coming at him right there, you know, with Puckett. Is it Alfonso Puckett? Listen, at 254.
Pump fake right. Reese rolling left, steps back, throws off his back foot. Man open, and he overthrows him at the 40-yard line, incomplete. No flags down. Pressure on the quarterback. Man was open on the far side.
Wait, White Hat's moving somewhere. Oh, no, he's
just
getting the ball.
Never mind. Yeah, yep. You can credit Aaron Carl there for making that throw as inaccurate as it was. Just putting the pressure on the quarterback. He has to get rid of it sooner than he'd like to. That's the best way to cover Rios. Put pressure on the quarterback.
Yep.
Punting unit on for the Rocks.
Campbell as 30 now backs up to the 27-yard line. Cam McGuire waiting at his 30-yard line for this punt, which will be into the wind, which has died down a little bit. Now the flag picks up a little bit more. The snap is good. The punt is away. A low one. McGuire with a fair catch at the 27. Streaks take over, leading 10-7, 5:06 to go in the third quarter, and the defense, aided by a Rock Island penalty yet again, denied him a first down, and that helps the defense recover, and the Streaks take over. Time and time again in this game so far, Rock Island has negated big plays because of their own mistakes, and it's aided the Silver Streaks, leading by three here, 10-7, second possession of the second half.
Now, this is a great opportunity here. We saw what we did in the third quarter against Sterling, ability to go take a lead. But are we going to be able to maintain that? Have we learned from that to continue to push here, keep the throttle going, keep putting points on the board, and then feeling like we're in a position to win the game instead of being in a position where it's like, oh, no, here we go. We talked about that in the pregame, Brad.
On the ground, trying to bounce to the outside, and about the time it looked like maybe it was going to be there for Cam McGuire, it closed up quickly.
Yeah.
He'll pick up a yard out of it.
Dre Gypsy-Aco is back out on the field here, so that's good news for the Streaks. Cannon Klein coming into the ball game. Mike Eicher into the ball game. This may indicate a little bit of a heavy package here.
Dre will line up to the right. Eicher to the short side left. And again, the two H-backs and the running back in the backfield for the Streaks. Blocking for Legate, who slings it to the near side, coming for it at the 40, Eicher, but it's underthrown, just a little bit incomplete. Would have been about 3 yards past the first down marker, but now it brings up third and nine instead.
Yeah, Tristan was a little out of rhythm there. I think he wanted to throw it, and then the route hadn't been broken yet. So did the receiver maybe go a couple steps farther than normal? Those kinds of routes are just so predicated on timing that if it's just one step too far with the receiver, quarterback's kind of off kilter there, and the ball throws short.
Sterling now leading Quincy 31-6 in that game. Still haven't been able to find a Moline UT score. Moline and Sterling tied for first place in the conference, and of course the Streaks heading to Moline next week. And now Galesburg calls timeout with 4:21 to go in the third quarter, leading by three. Third and nine from the 28-yard line when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Fall is a great time to update your home with a fresh coat of paint from Menards. We've purchased truckloads of paint to pass the savings on to you. Get a gallon of Pittsburgh Ultra Interior Flat Paint and Primer in one for only $14.99 after $2 rebate and 11% off. Good through Saturday, October 2nd. Savings are mail-in rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
From Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium, Brad Binowitz, Sean Hickey with you in the press box. Jake Miller down on the Streaks sideline. Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer at the downtown studios. And the Silver Streaks on the field facing third and nine from their 28, leading by three. Coming out of the timeout, Legate, and a deflected pass, and there's a flag with Hunter Davina downfield and a pass interference penalty, I believe.
Now, if it's tipped.
Yeah, if it's tipped, that might be
right.
Picked up
and
waved off.
Unless the interference happened before the tip.
So there's a discussion going on.
Yeah.
And it was not tipped by the defender who was guarding Davina either. It was tipped before that. And now here's the discussion. They're going to call the white hat in. A lot of discussion
going on. In the NFL, you'd call this defensive holding. I think they're going to wave this thing off the way the body language is out there.
I kind of read that, too.
Yeah, it's going to be waved. So that'll be around fourth down here for the Streaks.
So they don't even pick up the flag. And there it is. There's the wave off. So it just goes as an incompletion. Fourth and nine now from the 28. And the Streaks will have to punt. So I would have liked to have seen them get at least a couple of first downs there just to take some time off the clock. Get a little better field position. But instead, it'll be Davina standing back at his 15 where he'll receive this snap. Back for the run back is Tongo, I think. And another one. Davina has to scoop off the ground, but no rush, and he booms another one. And it backs up Anderson, it is, to the 25-yard line. Tries to get to the outside, slides
flag.
Through one tackle, runs into Nolan Carl short of the 35, and a flag down at the 39.
Well, Rock Island only had 10.
That helps.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Cramp.
I mean, that helps. Looks like Dre's a little. Nope,
that's Nolan.
That's Nolan Carl.
It's cramp. Oof. That's like me at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Holding is the penalty against Rock Island. They've had a couple of those on one on a kickoff and one on a punt return.
Big brother helping him off the field there. I think we'll see Nolan again. It doesn't look too serious. I'm not sure I would have been that nice to my little brother walking
you
him off the field.
You still aren't that nice to
no,
your little
not.
Brother, are
How
you?
How do you know that he
just,
was nice?
Just get back over here. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We couldn't hear
Suck
what was said
man.
To him. Yeah,
Suck
who knows?
Screw it, back out of here. Brandon taking a look here. Yeah, he's stretching calves.
Yeah.
Yeah, stretching calves. You know, week six, Nolan Carl doesn't leave the field, though. I mean, he's out there all the time. But, yeah, he's stretching calves out. So we'll get him a little hydration and hopefully back out there.
And it's comfortable now, but it was hot this week again.
Yeah.
Not what you expect in week six. Play on the ground to Tongo, trying to get to the outside, and the streaks with good pursuit and good contain. Don't let him get the edge. He'll pick up a yard on the play, maybe two. This drive after the punt starting from the 23-yard line. That'll be a gain of two to the 25.
Again, right there, that was Hunter Davina showing his closing speed. You know, when he sees where it is, and a guy kind of gives his little commit, he's gone. You know, he is there in a heartbeat. There's not much move that's going to shake him when he has that type of closing speed.
Second and eight from the Rock Island 25. 10-7 streaks, under 3.5 to go, third quarter. Play fake, back to pass. Reese flushed out of the pocket. Rolling left, throws.
Picked off,
deflected, and it's intercepted by the streaks at the 32. Klein returns it inside the 25 to the 23-yard line. Somebody deflected it. Cannon there for the reception, the interception, and the streaks have outstanding field position.
Interception number two for Cannon Klein this year. He was in on the as the deflector of the pass on last week's big interception. So
which Aguirre returned for 102 yards.
Exactly right. So a huge play here for the streaks. To put one in here right now would be paramount.
First turnover of the game for either club. Silver Streaks will have it just inside the Rock Island 23-yard line.
It's Aaron Carl on the deflection on that.
Very good. It's nice having that replay, isn't it?
It is nice. It's nice to have his wingspan, too.
Yes, it is.
Aaron Carl listed at 6'5".
You go up top here, Sean, right after the turnover?
I would, but I don't think we are going to. No.
Ray Egyptiaca to the right side. They kill on the ground to Aguirre. Room to run 20. Down to the 10. Gets to the corner.
Yep.
Stays in bounds. And he gets to the goal line.
Got
touchdown.
It. Outstanding blocking perimeter. Boffman again. Tremendous blocking out here to keep that play alive. Cam Aguirre did the rest. Now,
did a balancing act up the near sideline.
But
too.
Let's not forget about the blocking, the hole that he had there. I think at Jake's age right now, he could have ran through that hole and gotten a few yards.
Don't
Jake,
know.
Jake, you would like that hole that he just
would
ran
have liked
through.
It, though.
Yes,
yeah.
There's no doubt.
Second touchdown run of the night for Cam Aguirre of 23 yards.
Do we have enough,
Sean? Here's Satiski's extra point. It's good.
Okay, I didn't see an up back.
17-7 Silver Streaks. Up by two scores now, leading by 10. 3:07 to go in the third quarter. You're listening to Galesburg High School Homecoming Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on South Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg and by Templeton Roofing. Call Templeton Roofing when your roof matters. Learn more at templetonroofing.com. Want to hand your favorite local charity $100? Nominate them for the Hometown Hundreds. Every week, F&M Bank and Galesburg.info draw a winner from the nominees, like Prairie Players Civic Theater, who just got $100. Nominate now at Galesburg.info, keyword hundreds.
Tune in for the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, weekdays at 11 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
3:07 to go, third quarter. 17-7 is the Silver Streaks' lead. An interception by Cannon Klein, and the very next play, the 23-yard touchdown run. Sean's watching the block that helps freed him up in the backfield, and I'm watching him just balance the sideline after taking a bump down there to keep his feet in bounds and finish off the final 4 yards to get to the pylon.
Now, sometimes you talk about the ability to drive a car through a hole. Now, this wasn't that big. It was Germany good, and Hunter Davina, but you can do a compact car, one of those cars you got to plug in or something and you have no back seat. You can drive that through there.
Clown car.
Well, those ones Schwabi drives around here, you know, that little go-kart thing that he's got.
A Gator. We'll call it a Gator.
Yeah, there you go.
You can drive a Gator through there. John Deere Gator.
Second touchdown run of the night. In fact, second touchdown in the last three runs for Cam Aguirre. Satiski, again, down the middle of the field. Two Rock Island players converge on it at the 9. And the run back by Brooks up the near side with run to run up the near sideline to the 40. Cut back to the middle of the field of the 50. Working to the far side of the field, the 40. The 30.
Hang on,
cuts
Boff
up the field and then dragged down to the 15-yard line of the Silver Streaks. But a flag, as they said, back at the 25-yard line. And another Rock Island penalty will negate another big play. A holding penalty that's going to start this Rock Island drive at the 15, and the coaching staff must be beside itself.
Absolutely. You have to think, boy, welcome to Galesburg, or any comment like that about homers, whatever. But all these penalties that are happening are occurring. Those flags are coming out before the big play occurs, so it's not like it's something that comes way behind the play. It is out, and it's on the carpet. Jake saw it. Yeah. I saw it. It was there right before he even got through our first line of defense. And
I tell
and
you what,
moving up the sideline.
I've never seen this crew before, so that's one thing. Like this isn't a crew that's normally here in Galesburg. A and B. After what happened to us last year, I'm not apologizing.
No. No.
We could recap.
Yeah, we could take all the time in the world, and we can talk about that.
So the drive starts from the Rock Island 15-yard line. Streaks turned them over on the last possession.
Brad, have they eclipsed 10 penalties yet?
They have.
Yeah, they had 8 in the first half.
They have 11 now.
Okay.
Out of the gun. Reese, quick drop.
Come up.
Short pass to the far side. Eluding one tackle. And then spun and thrown down. And a flag comes down. As a tackle made at the 15-yard line, and that might be unsportsmanlike. I don't know what else he could be.
Face mask. I mean, it could be.
Did he get him? Did he get him that high?
I couldn't see.
I came in from the back, Judge.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of officials around. That's a tackle.
Damian Thomas is trying to argue his case. If they wave this off, Rock Island will go nuts.
They do say face mask. Personal foul, face mask. So he did get him up high. But I want to move it up to the 30. Yep, right at the 30.
It's interesting. Like, he's 5 yards from the side judge, who you think would have thrown that flag. The back official, 30 yards deep, is the one that throws that flag.
Well, Hunter spun him. His back was to the side official. Hunter's back was.
And now flags as Rock Island gets the snap away, and that'll be another 5-yarder.
So they'll get their 15, and we'll take 5 back. But they also got a first down. So now it's first and 15.
Back to the 25. Sterling leading Quincy. Geneseo blanked Alleman. That's what else is happening around the conference tonight. This game between two teams tied for third place with the Streaks leading by 10. 2:39 to go third quarter. To the outside. Now the cutback up the middle. Streaks close the gap and stop Desmond Woodson for a gain up to the 34-yard line. So he'll pick up the 5 penalty yards back plus 4 more, and it'll be 2nd and 6.
Xavier Van Dyke was spun 360 degrees by a hold on the edge that wasn't called there.
Well, I mean, we need to have Hunter Davina cannot play that to where he's going to set the edge, turn a guy back inside, come off a block, and turn around and try to make a tackle. We need better inside flow from our backers. Here we go again. Another penalty for Rock Island. False start.
That's 13 penalties of the night. They're over 100 yards in penalties now.
So they're trying to set up a little progression there. They run jet sweep to the right, and then they have jet motion, and it looks like they're going to run the same play to the left, but they have their left guard and left tackle. We're going to pull to the right, so they were going to try to catch us overshifting on their motion. They're going to run counter there.
2nd and 11 from the 29. Under 2 minutes to go, third quarter. Back to pass. Reese throws it across the middle. Man open right into the soft spot. Rios again with a completion. First down. Stiff arms one tackle. Passed another tackle in Galesburg territory. Out of bounds at about the 45-yard line of the Silver Streaks. He's just so big and hard to bring down.
Yeah, as he started that crossing route, I don't know if you guys heard him, but I said identify. We have to identify where he is and say crosser, crosser, crosser so eyes can find him. You know, we're doing a zone. Inside backers are dropping to their zone, but they hear crosser. They got to be knowing to look for that guy.
Gains 25 on the play. His first reception of the second half, 86 yards receiving on the night. And the play on the ground won't go for much. They hand it off to Tongo. He'll pick up, he'll end up getting about 5 out of the play. Inside the Galesburg 40, inside the Galesburg 45. A minute 20 and counting in the third quarter with the Streaks leading by 10. Very quickly to the line of scrimmage after a gain of 4 to the 42. And now a flag drops from the near side, and that one goes against Galesburg. Hmm. So that'll bring up 2nd and 1.
I think it was Jayshon Parks who was offsides there.
Hockey looking to pick up the pace a little bit here on this drive. They've got a little bit of momentum, trying to keep the Streaks defense moving downhill backwards. Second and one from the 37. Handoff up the middle, bouncing to the outside. Now cutting up field, far side of the field. Lots of room to run for Tongo, and he takes it all the way to the house for his second touchdown of the night. And this time there are no penalty flags to negate the big play. 37-yard touchdown run. It was Tongo who broke off the 63-yarder on the first play from scrimmage. Now he gets his second touchdown run of the night on a 37-yard play.
Yeah, they have that ability every single play to do just that. I mean, just the speed in which their backs run, their big play receivers, they have that ability. And since the very first play of the game, the Streaks have been able to kind of hold that in. Not so much here. This game's far from over.
Campbell in for the extra point. 17-13, the score. Here come the Streaks with a block, and it's Nolan Carl again with the block on the extra point. And that's big because with a four-point lead, any thought that Rock Island might have of going for a field goal later in the game, if it were to come down to that, would not be possible. So a big, big extra point denied. 17-13 is the Streaks lead with 57 seconds to go in the third quarter.
I talk about this week in and week out. Anytime that you can leave points on the field, it's a big deal. It's 1 point. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can go out there for your PAT block and do nothing with it and just kind of be like, whatever, we'll give them the point. But you know what? When you go out there time and time again, you block it. Those are points that are left out there. And now you see the impact of this because, you know, I know we're still here at the end of the third quarter. There's a lot of game left.
Yep.
But if the game does not progress any further than what it is now with the score, is it 17-13,
mm-hmm.
It forces Rock Island to score a touchdown. They cannot just get close enough for a field goal. And that 1 point plays a huge difference in this game at this point.
And that field goal, that 38-yard field goal into the wind just looms.
Yeah,
really large right now. I'm telling you, that's, I don't know if, have you ever given an out-of-body crunch time player of the game to a kicker? Because right now, that play, I mean, we've seen some big plays tonight, but that play looms very large at this
sure
point.
Sure does. Sure does.
You know, I was actually talking today with Dave Dunn about the crunch time player of the game. Saw him at the parade, and we're talking a little bit about that and some of the winners he's had and the opportunity he's had to meet them. So, speaking of crunch time player of the game.
Kickoff down the middle of the field. Takes a couple of bounce. A short hop into the numbers of Amari Richardson, who scoops it up, trying to bounce to the outside, and he can't. And the Streaks will have it at the 20 with 52.7 seconds to go in the third quarter. A score in the Morton Metamora game. Of course, we're watching that one closely. Not that we care about the Middle Illini Conference, but
we do want Morton to win.
We want Morton to win because it helps out the Silver Streaks,
yes,
for playoff points potential on down the line. And it's Morton leading 40-22 with 3:04 left in the game.
Yeah, for the fans out there, it doesn't matter who we beat in terms of that. In terms of playoff points, it's just who we play. So even our losses to Morton and our losses to Dunlap, you know, anybody that we've played, you need to be fans of theirs right now because every point could matter if this comes down to a 5-4 record at the end.
You're right, but we need to be eligible for the playoffs.
And three is better.
First down from the 20. Back to pass Legate with the Streaks leading by four. To the outside, complete to Dre. Steps back, trying to get past his defenders, and they collapse on top of him, 2 yards short of the first down. Drake was juking and jiving and doing everything he could to get him to bite on a fake. Goes as a gain of eight. For Dre, only his second reception of the night. He's been well covered. But he got open there. And it's second and two.
A little timing around, Jake. You talk about those quite often. So this is something that can really start the tempo,
yep,
for the Streaks this drive.
It's impossible to defend if the timing's right and the ball's accurate.
Only the fifth completion of the night for Tristan Legate. Aguirre on the ground, trying to get to the outside. Needs to get to the 30, and he stopped short of that. It'll be very quickly third and short, and that'll be the last play of the third quarter. The Streaks will take a four-point lead into the fourth quarter over Rock Island, 17-13 in the fourth quarter on homecoming from Van Dyke Field coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Go get them, Silver Streaks. This is Jeff Klink from Galesburg Nissan. Reminding everyone, Galesburg Nissan has the area's largest and nicest rental car fleet, an awesome detail shop, Galesburg Car Care, and we are driven to create customers for life. A free lifetime warranty with no gimmicks. Every fifth oil change is free for life. and a free loaner car for life. Galesburg Nissan, Galesburg Nissan Car Rental, Galesburg Car Care, and Galesburg Nissan Pre-Owned Auto Center all say, let's go streaks.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
...17-13 Silver Streaks, three quarters gone from Van Dyke Field. They have had a fourth quarter lead in all four Western Big Six Conference games, trying to go 3-1 here, and the Streaks facing a big third and one coming out of the quarter break from the 29-yard line. Moline shutting out UT 41-0. So that game all but final, and the Streaks will not get a third down conversion as Aguirre gets stuffed in the backfield for a loss.
You know, sometimes I don't like lining up 4 yards deep for a snap when you only have, you know, 1 yard to go. And the possibility of a negative play is too great, in my opinion.
Now the Streaks have to kick into the wind what there is of it at this juncture. Davina's gotten off some good ones, and the wind picks up just as he gets a spinner away with nobody back to receive, and the Streaks are able to down it at the 30-yard line where Rock Island will take over. They scored on their last drive. They trail by four here, just underway in the fourth quarter.
This just feels pivotal, guys, you know, to come out here and to get stopped like that with a four-point lead and what we can do on this drive. Rock Island coming off a drive where they just scored and did pretty much what they want. This drive might be pivotal for the entire night.
Turnover looming large as well.
The only turnover
of the game, Rock Island throwing the interception picked off by Cannon Klein, which the Streaks ran in 23 yards out the very next play. That's the difference in the game right now. And out of the gun, play fake. Reese passes to the outside, complete to Marion Anderson, and then the Streaks wrap him up after a gain of just a yard.
Played that really well.
Good pursuit.
They fake the jet, and then they throw the pass
to
the jet motion guy, which is, you know, you'll see that 30 times if you watch football all day on Saturday. It's a very common play on Saturdays in your kind of spread motion offense that you see more often than not nowadays.
122 yards passing for Rock Island quarterback Eli Reese. Brooks on the ground. Tries to get to the outside. Does break free.
Out.
Ball pops free.
Streaks
and
have
I
it.
Think the Streaks have it at the 42-yard line.
Yep.
This would be the
second turnover
of the night. They got it. Brooks got hit. He kept moving forward, trying to get extra yards. Somebody from the Streaks got in there and popped it free. And Galesburg takes advantage of its second turnover of the night.
Just the big mistakes. Big mistakes here for Rock Island, right? Now, good, slow, methodical drive here. Sean, put one in, go up two scores. That would be the ideal.
My conversation with Rock Island coach Ben Hammer on Wednesday, we talked a little bit about turnovers. They turned it over, four interceptions in that Moline game, which we've talked about as, you know, the outlier, obviously. I said, other than that, he said, turnovers have been good for us. We've been really good in that category. Well, they got two tonight. Streaks on a pass play on first down and overthrowing Dre Egyptiaka, but a flag down from the backside, and we may have a pass interference penalty.
Going back to that turnover, hard to tell in the video, but it looks like it was Nolan Carl on the strip of that ball.
We've had the conversation between the officials. Nothing from the referee yet. Now he turns. Defensive holding. Automatic first down. So that takes it from the Rock Island 42 down to the 32. I have spot on my stats sheet for 14 team penalties. And
you're
that's the
those.
14th of the night for Rock Island.
Yeah, it comes down to some penalties happen. You very rarely are going to see a penalty-free game. Now the sideline gets number 15.
Oh, sure did. Just saw a flag drop on the far side.
That one's going to be a warning.
That's a warning, yep. So no yardage attached to it.
But it's a discipline issue, you know, that's going on out there right now, and the coaching staff has to rein that in as well.
10:35 to play in the game. Streaks lead by four, 17-13 after the Rock Island penalty. A first down at the Rock's 32-yard line. Streaks line it up with the two H-backs and the running back of Wire up the middle, and then the hole closes quickly.
It did.
He gets two to the 30, second and eight.
If we can just block on that backside 1 second more, yep. Sean, that back door is open for that little cut up the middle. You're right. He made the right cut, and he's doing that better in this half. He's making that cut to stay in there. But he's just our backside guys need to hold on just a second longer.
22 carries, 93 yards for Cam McGuire.
And that's just to show how fast this game is. You know, that's the difference between 1 yard. That's the difference between a step or the speed of it all. I mean, it's just so fast. And the fact that he missed that by a split second of what was a 3 yard gain, which could have been a 7 or 8 yard gain. That's the difference in this sport.
9:50 to play, almost a full fourth quarter on homecoming. Second and eight, Silver Streaks from the Rock Island 30 after the Rocks fumble. Back to pass, Legate. Looking long, going for Egypciaco. Man-to-man coverage, and good coverage. Neither player comes up with it. It's incomplete in the end zone. And Dre, again, a little slow to get up, and it's the Rock Island defender who helps him, and then Dre goes down again. Remember that leg injury he suffered earlier in the game, and now he's up on his own. And it's third and eight, Silver Streaks back at the 30.
Again, Jake, wouldn't you say that throw was just a little
too
high?
Yep.
If not too high, then it's too late. You know, it ends up being a jump ball in the end zone. I felt like Dre had separation.
Yeah.
Get a little ball that's a little bit harder thrown. He more in the corner. That's the route that we need there. Yep. I think it's the right play call.
Well, yeah, it's one-on-one, and you bet on Dre, 100% of the time in that situation.
Streaks are 2 for 3 on third downs in this second half. Third and eight here. The rush is on. Legate gets it away.
Short.
Is the ball complete at the marker?
Right at it.
It is. A dive play for it to come back for it and haul it in right at the marker by Mikey Eicher. And no measurement. First down. Streaks.
He just grabbed the ball and moved the sticks. The side official did. He didn't look. He didn't turn around to look.
I have Tristan in class, and on Monday I'm going to have a conversation about some of these wobbles on these balls that are coming out. He had a goofy one there, and he had to throw it quick, so he might not have had the seams, but it got there, and it got the job done.
Yep, got it done.
Mikey Eicher, 4 catches, 82 yards, a monster one there to convert on third and eight. Play on the ground, Aguirre up the middle. A little bit of a hole, and he crosses the 20 to about the 19 for a gain of 3, close to 4 yards on first down. And the Streaks are in the red zone now.
They're in the red zone now. They're also approaching Sam Satiski field goal range. You know, as you want to, you're at a 4-point lead. You make this thing 7 as an option. Obviously, we want 7, but this is the same direction and a little less wind now than there was when he kicked it before.
I'd still like us to continue to push and get a touchdown.
Of course.
You know, because in a field goal, there's so many things that can go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You got to snap. You have the hold.
Yep.
That's the pressure and everything else.
And a lot of time left. Still 8:15 to play in the quarter. Second and 7. Legate rolling right.
Just run
Dre
it.
Trying to get open, and Legate carries it. Crosses close to the 15-yard line. He steps out of bounds at the 16, so he'll gain 3, and it'll bring up 3rd and 4.
Good decision.
Jake, you look like you had roller skates on there.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I did. I was fearing for my life. No, good decision.
it's nice of you to share you.
Yeah.
Your candor there.
Yeah. Yeah, it did flash. I don't move as fast as I used to.
I believe that's come up one other time.
Yeah,
in this
game. Dre was he was draped with coverage right there.
Yeah, Trish
make a good choice.
Third and a long 4 for the Streaks here. Legate, short drop, passes and deflected. Good defensive coverage again. Anderson, Andre Egypciaco. Anderson looks like he's got a couple inches on him. He got a finger on it. And it's incomplete, 4th down.
Here comes the kicking unit.
So this will be a 33-yard field goal attempt. Against Satiski at a 38-yarder late in the first quarter that got the Streaks on the board and was their only points of the first half. Streaks got 2 touchdowns in the second half. In the third quarter, 1 after an interception, This is an attempt to put more points on the board after a Rock Island turnover. The snap is good. The kick is plenty.
Oh, yeah,
and he's got it again.
What a kick.
Oh, man.
With plenty to spare, 7:59 to go in the game. The streak's back up 7, 20-13 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
When you're talking about any kind of building project, you can't just walk outside and start digging. But you can call Courtright Construction right now and get on top of their list. Site prep is one of their specialties. Trust the pros at Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg, and by Bradley Hicks, Century 21 affiliated. Morning, noon, nights, or weekends, Bradley Hicks will help you find your dream home.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
Rock Island turns the ball over on a fumble. The Streaks take over on the 42-yard line. The first play from scrimmage, a defensive holding call against the Rocks, moves it to the 32. The Streaks run seven plays for 26 yards. Sam Satiski's second field goal of the night, this one from 33 yards, and had plenty for more. And the Streaks have regained a seven-point lead now, 20-13, in the only game remaining in the Western Big Six Conference now. The other three have been decided, and been decided decisively. Moline, Sterling, and Geneseo, all winners. This battle for third place here has the Streaks up 7 with 7:59 to play in the game. Ready to kick this one off. Two waiting deep for Rock Island right at the 10-yard line. And Satiski, who just got the field goal, lines one down the middle of the field, taken at the 10. The run back up the far side and slipping and falling across the 25 to the 26-yard line, trying to make a cut out there. And that was Brooks, I think, who went down. It was.
Yep. Dre, the first one to meet him. And, Dre's going to get credit for the tackle. It was a slip, but Dre was in the close player in the vicinity.
But the scary thing about that play was, as a player falls like that and you have a defender who's out of position for a tackle in that position, how he's falling, helmet could easily go to a knee or a shin and cause some damage there.
Counter.
So flag. Room to run, and another flag comes down as the play stops at the 35-yard line. Would have been a yard short of the first down, but I got to believe there's the holding call. It's coming back.
Be holding against Rock Island.
Mm-mm-mm. 16?
15.
15?
15 penalties.
Oh, yeah, the other one was a warning. That's right.
16 flags, 15 penalties.
Yep. Silver Streaks by 7. Now the penalty moves the Rocks back to the 18-yard line. First and 18. Back to pass, Reese. Pressure from the left side, flushed out to the right. Now
Time
looks over, throws it up the far sideline, complete at the 38-yard line for a gain of 20 and a first down. Right into the numbers on the far side. And Rock Island moves the chains on a completion to Joe Allen, his first catch of the night.
Yeah, Reese is too creative, and the receivers are too active and athletic to cover for that long. So if we're going to let Reese run around back there, that's not something Galesburg is going to come out on the positive side of.
Yeah, zone coverage is hard they're going to find pockets in there.
Hand off to the right side, and they swarm around the running back for a gain of 3 on first down.
Second down for Rocks.
I believe that was Xander George on the carry, and he'll pick up 4. That's only his fourth carry of the night for 10 yards. Second and 6 as the clock rolls toward the 7-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Streaks leading by 7. From the 43-yard line, man in motion, gets the handoff, sweeps to the outside. That's Marion Anderson to the 50, up the near sideline, 40, steps out of bounds inside the 35-yard line.
Cramp. There it is.
And he's slow to get up, and it'll be first down Rock Island in Galesburg territory. Haven't seen exactly where they're going to mark him out of bounds, but it's somewhere in the vicinity of the 35. Actually going to move him back to the 38. So still a pickup of 20 more. And Rock Island pushing again. They have pushed the Silver Shrieks up and down and around the field. But it's Galesburg with a 7-point lead as the Rocks move it to the Galesburg 38. Out of the gun, Reese with a quick pass. Rios coming back for it high. Catches it at the 40. Gets a block to free him up inside the 35 and wrapped up and taken down from behind at about the 32. 3-4 yards short of the first down marker.
And it drives past. This is where Rock Island starts to
get kind of crumble. The 30, yeah.
Right, they get a little antsy and they start to crumble and, you know, hopefully. And part of that streak's pressure. I mean, we're causing some of this, you know, but hopefully we see that happen again here.
Second and 4 from the 32. Hand off to George. Little hesitation. Finds his way across the 30. Taken down at the marker. Probably a little past the first down marker. There go the chains. Yep. New set of downs inside the Galesburg 30 to the 27-yard line. We're halfway through quarter number 4 and beyond the 6-minute mark now. 20 to 13 Silver Streaks. First down Rock Island at the 28. And flags as they get this one snapped away and a false start against Rock Island.
So, Jake, when you made your comment, they were not inside the 30 yet.
But now they are.
But now they are. Now they have a penalty.
Get a mistake.
Yep.
Yeah, well, we've seen penalties stall drives, and let's hope this is enough here to get them behind the sticks a little bit and off schedule. And
certainly.
First and 15. Reese, Crosser. Back to pass.
Deflected
and picked off by the Silver Streaks again.
Jeremiah, let's see his dance. Come up and dance,
here
Jeremiah.
We go.
Jeremiah Morris picks off the deflection as he jumps up and down with two arms in the air. The third turnover of the night for Rock Island.
You got a player down. Jeremiah may have stepped on his foot.
He
I don't know.
In the celebration.
I shouldn't joke about that.
Sean's going to look at the replay and see maybe who got a finger on it.
It's Jay Sean Parks who's down right now.
The second interception of the night for the Silver Streaks. And Rock Island fumbled on their last offensive possession, which led to the Satiski field goal. And the Streaks are going to take over here at their own 33-yard line with 5:40 to go in the game, leading by 7.
Trying to see the penetration. It's interior lineman.
The player down on the field, by the way, again, is Jay Sean Parks as they continue to.
Looking at something on the lower half. Looking at a calf.
He's sitting up. So not one of those things where he's laying on the turf and in obvious pain or anything. They're checking him out. Now they're helping him up. And a little gimpy coming off. But unassisted. Well, Streaks have taken some shots here tonight. Dre Egyptiaku was out early in the game but came back. Streaks already without Alex Egyptiaku.
I think it was Noah Wright on the tip on that play coming in. Spelling somebody on defense was able to get
there
us hand up.
We were talking
that.
About Noah in the beginning of the game. So now Noah becomes a Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game candidate. Third turnover of the night for Rock Island have led to 10 Galesburg points. Up the middle, Aguirre across the 35 to the 37. A gain of 4 on first down. And the Streaks want to keep it on the ground, running time off the clock, under 5.5 minutes to play. Rocky with 3 timeouts, the Silver Streaks with 2. They have no intent of using any here. Leading by 7.
You know, Jake and I, we talk about this all the time. Move the sticks here, right? We want to continue to pound the ball, keep the clock running, let it trickle down, continue running the ball, get those first downs.
Aguirre again tries to cut back to the middle, and that goes nowhere. Rock Island got to the edge, didn't allow him to get to the outside, so he had to cut back to the middle, and he lost a yard. So he got to 100 yards on the last carry. Now he's back under 100 with a loss of 1.
Timeout.
Okay, Rock Island's going to call a timeout here.
So that stops the clock with 4:44 to go, and the Streaks facing 3rd and 7 from their own 36-yard line. Leading by 10.
Got to throw it here. We haven't seen any targets to our tight ends. Aaron Carl, Hunter Davina here would certainly be a target. Nolan Carl. Yeah, I would want to pick on those guys right now. We were trying to target them on that little play that we had down in the first quarter. We were trying to run our
double
play action pass. Yeah. But other than that, I'd like to see those guys. Hunter Davina is such a big play threat when he gets a ball in his hand, breaking tackles. He's hard to bring down. I think that they'd look to cover up Dre here, but we have other guys we can get the ball to.
Jake, I'm a big fan of this. We've seen it all season, and that's move the pocket with an F slide.
Yep.
Bring it through from the backside. One of those tight ends who are, off in line of scrimmage. It supply a lot of blocking for us to allow our offensive lineman to block man on, and we use them to insert in different places. So I'm looking for an F slide here.
3rd and 7, Streaks out of the gun. Legate rolling right, and it's picked off at the 45-yard line, and this may go back for a touchdown, and it will. Picked off by Marion Anderson, and he had nothing but green space in front of him.
Penalty.
And now a penalty on Rock Island on the celebration.
Another one.
And they're within a point of tying the game.
Two flags down.
This is big, because what this does is this backs up the PAT, guys.
It does. Points on the field again. Opportunity.
This backs up the PAT.
And again, keep in mind the blocked penalty, the blocked extra point earlier. Otherwise, the game would be tied right now.
Correct.
Right. This is big.
So the Streaks' first turnover of the night goes as a pick six, and it's 20-19 with 4:35 to go in the game, coming out of the Rock Island timeout. So there's the unsportsmanlike conduct against Rock Island.
We'll see where we take this here. We might not have a choice here. No, it looks like they're going to mark it off. Good. Now, Jake, you were talking about this, though, on that last play, of how tight the coverage has been on Dre. And it was certainly
That's the same, very,
very tight there on that coverage.
All right. So Rock Island here at this point now is going to have to run this point after from the 18-yard line, all right, which makes it a 28-35-yard field goal, essentially, with the wind. I'm betting that you're going to see the offense out here. They're going to run a play? I don't know. But this is huge. It could be
wind the clock. Play clock, I mean.
Yeah.
Some confusion. Nope, they're bringing the kicker out now.
Yep, there he is. He's got the tee.
Yep. So the hold is going to be at the 25-yard line. So this is a 35-yard extra point. With the Streaks leading by one, 4:35 to go in this homecoming game. Nolan Carl's blocked one in this game already. Here's the snap, the hold. The kick is away.
It's got the distance, and he missed it left.
He missed it left. And the Streaks lead remains with 4:35 to go in the game, 20-19. And you can't help but wonder if that blocked kick earlier may have come at least into the brain of their kicker, Campbell, in an effort to get that one away, because the Streaks were coming, and he just pulled it left.
There's no doubt about it. And just the fact that, again, time and time again, we have seen Rock Island in this game shoot themselves in the foot.
This is terrible.
Here you have a pick six and an opportunity to tie the game up, and you get an unsportsmanlike, move your kicker back, and now he can't make it. So it's not just about us blocking it, but it's, Brad, you're right, that gets in their mind. But it's a thing, again, where Rock Island keeps harming their opportunities to win. And so we need to take advantage of this right now. We need to get first downs, and we have to be – I mean, they feel the momentum Rock Island does right now. Okay, it's the mojo that they have going. They're feeling it. We need to take control of this, play like we have a victory – or like we have a lead in the fourth quarter, run the clock down. They only have – Rock Island has only two timeouts left, and so do we. We need to take care of the ball and certainly not do any turnovers here, and put this game away and get a victory that Rock Island is really – starting to give to us at this point. I mean, we've seen the plays stall out in the first half. We've seen The blocked PAT, we've seen them get this 15-yard penalty here and not be able to execute the PAT because it was 35 yards. Jake, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, let's watch this here because there might be an onside.
Yep. I thought about that. There it is. Offside. And they were offsides. I was going to ask you guys about that.
Yeah.
So offsides, move it back 5 yards.
I wouldn't have done that here with 4 minutes to go in the game.
But that was the thing. There's a lot of time left, yeah.
Yeah.
And they've had some defensive stops, and they've been able to move the ball.
Mm-hmm. But what happened here? Oh, it's a penalty. You know, there's no chance.
That's their 18th, by the way.
There's no chance at trying to recover the onside kick here because you go offsides, and you have yet another penalty. Shoot yourself in the foot.
So we'll put our hands team up there, I'm hoping. All right, we got some guys up there. And
they have too many. They have to have four, don't they, Jake?
They have to have four, and they do. No, they only have three.
That's a penalty.
That's a penalty.
They got it, yeah.
They dropped the play, and they kick it deep to the 27-yard line. Cam McGuire, he gets wrapped up with a jersey and taken down. It looked like Cam was going to take that one, but Joe Allen got him up high in the jersey, but the flag is down. You guys saw it.
Well, that was Marcus Lewis on return. Yeah, IHSA rules is when you do like an onside kick, you have the kicker wherever. There needs to be at least four guys on one side, and they only had three. And that's kind of like a safety issue. I don't know exactly, Jake. Is that right? Is that safety issue?
It's just so that you can't overload one side and just, you know. Yeah, it's a complete safety issue is what it is.
He didn't do the onside kick, though. He did
it was a pooch. Kick. Yeah, it was a little pooch. So they were lined up that way, and he still pooched it. I don't know if, like, he was supposed to go high but not as deep.
So they're going to mark off penalty yardage.
Yeah.
They add 5 yards at the end of the return.
But the intent of the kick doesn't matter because they didn't line up correctly.
You still can't line up like that. I mean, you've seen them change. They've changed that all the way up through the NFL. You know, it used to be you could load guys up even in the NFL. Now, onside kicks are so unsuccessful because you can't put as many guys out there as you used to be able to.
The 19th penalty of the night against Rock Island. I don't know that I've seen a high school team get 19 penalties in a game. Puts Galesburg at their own 49-yard line, leading with a 4:27 to go in the game and a run play with a flag down. Aguirre to the 45-yard line and a flag down back at the 49.
Yes, it is. Here'll be number 20.
Unbelievable. So Aguirre picks up 6, and the penalty yard will give the Streaks a first down.
Face mask.
And is it a 5-yarder, assume?
Yep, it's a 5-yarder.
Well, they only walked off 3 yards. Wasn't the play down at the 46?
I don't really know. I don't know what these – it's hard to follow these guys sometimes. First and one. So it was a 4-yard gain
must have
and
been
a 5-yard
penalty.
Game. All right. It looked like more than 4 yards.
It did. So we had a 1st and 2 for Rock Island earlier in the game. Now the Streaks have a 1st and 1 from the Rocky 42-yard line. 4 minutes and counting in the game with the Streaks leading by 1. Out of the gun to Aguirre.
First down
and more.
Let's go.
Cuts back at the 30.
Come on,
the
hold
20.
On, hold on.
It's a foot race. And it's a score.
No flags?
No flags. And the Streaks are back on top by 7. With 3:51 to go in the game, Cam McGuire's 3rd touchdown run of the night.
Hey, hold on. These last 3:51 is going to get wild.
Yeah. This PAT is extremely important here to go up 8.
Yep.
So the Streaks will line up to go for the traditional extra point, leading by 7. The snap is good. The hold, the rush is on. Satiski right
perfect
through the uprights. And the Streaks lead by 8 with 3:51 to go in the game. An unsportsmanlike conduct penalty again. Keep that in mind. The unsportsmanlike conduct penalty after Rock Island returns the interception that moves what is basically a 19-yard kick back to a nearly 35-yard kick. They miss it. And then a penalty on the return Well, first of all, a penalty on the onside kick when they go offside.
Two penalties.
Then another penalty for not lining up correctly, which gives the Streaks the ball at midfield. A face mask penalty at the end of the first running play. And then Aguirre breaks one off for 42 yards.
That cut he made 10 yards, you know, into his run was impressive. I mean, just the way he's able to put his foot in the ground, make a cut, and not lose any speed. You know, we've seen a couple backs, like, you know, around here do that. But that was an impressive move for him to turn what could have been just a 10-yard gain into the house score that it was.
Two plays, 51 yards, and the Silver Streaks take 37 seconds off the clock. The extra point, again, back to an 8-point lead, 27-19, with 3:51 to go in the game.
Now, this is what I mean by it's going to be a wild ride here, because if they're able to put together a drive and go down and score, they will go for two. They have to.
We may have three more scores.
Who knows?
Down the middle of the field and then takes an arc over to the right side, taken there at the 10-yard line, and a little hesitation move at the 25, and the stop is made up to the 38-yard line, and a nice run back by Brooks again.
I would have almost told him kick it out of bounds and give it to him on the 30, you know. I mean, just the worry there, but, good return here for Rock Island and get a start, and now it's just can we hold on?
Nice special teams tackle by sophomore, number 80, Cadence Johnson, as well as, I think, and there was Amari Richardson, which we haven't called his name as frequently in offense.
Nope.
But nice special teams play by those two.
Yeah, Amari's only carried the ball twice and not in the second half at all. Aguirre's been the workhorse tonight, 26 carries, 141 yards, and three touchdowns. And the first play on the ground for Rock Island goes for positive yardage up to the 43-yard line and a good gain on first down of 5 as the offensive line helped make the push happen. And Tongo, who's been big for Rock Island with two of their touchdown runs on the night, plus a defensive interception return for the other Rock Island score. So Tongo's over 100 yards on the night. It's 2nd and 5, Rock Island. Approaching midfield. Reese rolling right. Rolling right. Throws.
Wow.
And contact right as the catch is made. And the catch is made by Desmond Woodson, who hangs on to it. Perfectly timed defense by the Silver Streak secondary, but a first down for Rock Island anyway.
Yeah, you just tip your cap on that one. There's Nolan Carl's there, and he does what you're supposed to do. He's complaining of a push-off offensively. But he's there to make the play. Guy just caught a ball.
Yep.
Down to the 46-yard line of the Silver Streaks on a gain of 13. 2:50 and counting. Up the middle. And then the Streaks close it off at the 45-yard line and push it backwards. And George on the carry wanted a penalty against the Silver Streaks. But the Galesburg defense was just playing through the whistle. It's 2nd and 9.
Clock running here under 2:30. Yep, trickle down.
2nd and 9. Reese to pass. Slings it to the far sideline. Caught. Rios cuts toward the middle of the field. Spins off a tackle. And that allows him to get out of bounds at the 40-yard line. Stopping the clock with 2:16 to play. And a fairly short gain. It'll bring up 3rd and 5. A gain of just 4. So Rios sacrificed the yardage to get out of bounds. Streaks have recovered a Rock Island fumble. They have 2 interceptions tonight. It's 3rd and 5. Play fake to the outside again. Pass complete. Slipping through a tackle, Anderson, and he got the first down up to the 35-yard line. So a big third down conversion for the Rocks. 2:09 to go in the game with the Streaks leading by 8.
And more importantly here for the Rock Island Rocks is that they were able to get out of bounds and move the sticks. Clock stopped with 2:09 left in the game.
This is a gain of 10. First down, Rocks. And a flag.
False start.
There it is.
Getting close to that 30-yard line, so.
That's
starts
right.
To get a little itchy.
161 yards in penalties for the Rock Island Rocks tonight. 2:09 to go. Galesburg by 8. Rocks with a 1st and 15 at the 40 and 2 timeouts remaining. Two wideouts left, two wideouts right. Single setback is George. Back to block. Reese under pressure gets the pass away down the far sideline. Eicher in one-on-one battle, and it's caught by Rock Island at the 7-yard line. And that was just size of Anderson going up over the back of Eicher, who was undersized. Nothing you can do about that.
Yep, they have that ability. They have these guys that are just able to go do that. And he just, Mikey doesn't do anything wrong.
No.
He just gets out-jumped.
He's just not tall enough.
Yep, he just got out-jumped there.
So a first and goal Rock Island at the 8 after a gain of 32. And the handoff to the left side, and it's George on the carry.
Ball
and the
out.
Ball popped free as he crossed the goal line.
He was in, though.
Yeah, and the officials are saying it's a touchdown. So it's now it's a two-point lead. Derek Blackwell wants an explanation. The ball did pop free, but he'd crossed the goal line.
I don't know. I think about calling a timeout here.
Minute 51 to go. Streaks are need to stop the two-point conversion. Opponents have run two run plays for two-point conversions.
Got
they
in.
Go on the ground, and
he's
got
in.
It.
Yeah.
So the opponents are now 3-for-3 on two-point conversions on the ground this season, and we are tied at 27 with a minute 51 to go. The Streaks are going to get it back on the kickoff, presumably, with two timeouts remaining.
Buckle up.
Yep.
We knew it wasn't over.
No.
The big pass play, the 32-yarder to Anderson and one-on-one coverage to Mikey Eicher that set that up on first and goal. So, yeah, George ran it in on the next play 8 yards out, but it was that pass play that set it up. And the two-point conversion ties the game at 27, a minute 51 to go in the fourth quarter. These games between Rock Island, which dominated this conference for so many years, and boy, have these been contested battles the last several years between the Silver Streaks and the Rocks.
Well, this thing has lived up to its billing. You know, we thought this was the marquee matchup of the night, and it is certainly paying off to be exactly that.
Seven plays, 62 yards. And a minute 54 off the clock. The two-point conversion ties the game at 27. And the Streaks will get it back here. Anthony Campbell to kick. And he does kick it deep.
Here we go.
It'll be taken at the 11. And it's Curtis to the 20. To the 25. Runs into the defense. And they take him down across the 30, but a nice little run back.
I think I saw, did I see a flag come in? Yeah, up there to the 25, side judge.
Yeah, that might be a push. Back.
Yeah, boy, it's kind of lost in the glare off the field over there. Good eyes, Hick.
Well, I thought I saw it fly, but then I couldn't find it on the floor.
And a Bronx cheer from the Rock Island fans. Yep. Nice to see a flag on the home team over
here. Hold against the Silver Streaks. They're sixth of the night. For 62 yards, which is not a small number, but in comparison to 161 yards on the other side. So that'll back the Silver Streaks up with a minute 44 to go in the game of a tie, 27-27 tie. So the drive will start at the 16, at the 15-yard line. Out of the gun. Soft snap, but the Streaks get it away, and a short gain across the 15 to about the 17 on the first carry.
Yeah, you really want to get a first down here before you start thinking, you know, about anything too crazy.
Right.
You know, Rock Island didn't have to use any of their timeouts. They're showing offensively a lot of production right now. Not saying you play for overtime, but got to be careful as deep as we are in our own territory right now.
Yep. Gain of 3 for Aguirre. Minute 13 and counting. Second and 7 from the 18. Aguirre again on the ground. Gets down
drive,
low.
Drive.
And then gets pushed backwards.
runs into the contact at about the 20, maybe the 21, and now Rock Island uses one of those two remaining timeouts, and the Silver Strakes will face third and a long four with a minute two to go of a tie ball game.
This is a big play right here. Jake, you okay down there?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. My back's sore. No, yeah, it is. It's a big one because a first down, you know, now we can actually, like, start thinking about going here. We don't get a first down. Rock Island's going to call another timeout.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to kick the ball kick the ball back to him. They're going to get the ball with about 40 seconds, probably somewhere, you know, just deep of midfield. So with their targets, they're one play away all the time. And we've already seen that. So, you know, that's a big thing. I'd keep it on the ground. If you got something, you know, trickery here, you know, as long as it's a handoff, you know, we saw that little reverse to Hunter Davina, you know, maybe that's in the playbook here. You know, it's just something that is a low degree of worry and something that won't stop the clock.
Streaks are 5-for-11 on third downs in this game, above their season percentage. It's third and four here from the 21-yard line, tied at 27, 62 seconds remaining. Coming out of the Rock Island timeout, Aguirre cuts up the field, wrapped up, short of the 25-yard line and pushed back.
It's going to be close.
It's very close. He had to get to the 25.
He signaled first down.
Yep.
They didn't even set the ball.
How about that?
I can understand.
They didn't
some
even
of the
put the ball down.
He signaled first. Let's go. Set the ball.
Boy, the nose of the football sitting right on the 25-yard line. Just enough forward progress. And a heck of a stop made by Rock Island because it looked for all the world like Cam was going to go for a bit. But they got him up high, held on. But Aguirre got just enough. First down at the 25 with 40 seconds to go of a tie ball game. Two timeouts remaining for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg almost too patient here. It's going to be 30 seconds when they get the snap away. Back to pass, Legate. Coverage downfield. He throws it anyway. Into double coverage.
No.
Rocky picks it off at the 45-yard line, and a flag comes down at the end of the play. Picked off by Darius Tongo. Let's see what the flag is. It might be. Because Tristan threw that one up, and that wobbled from the get-go, just hung in the air. And now another flag comes in.
On
so,
Trey.
Yep, that was on Dre as he was walking away, said something.
That'll be 15 yards closer.
Depending on what the first penalty was.
Yep, come sit down.
And that is horrible timing for the Silver Streaks. 22.9 seconds showing on the clock. Rock Island has just picked off.
Okay, so
its second pass of the game.
See what the penalty, the first penalty.
Here's
here.
The first penalty. Face mask against the Silver Streak. So after the interception.
Yards. So it's going to be a 30-yard penalty, guys.
But not unless it's just a 5-yard penalty for the face mask. He didn't signal in sportsmanlike on it.
So the interception made at the Rock Island 45-yard line. So it's at least 20 yards in penalties. And the Rocks have one timeout remaining with 23 seconds of a tie ball game.
Well,
personal foul. So now it is 30 yards in penalties.
Because that's after the play, so they just tack on.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
So the unsportsmanlike on the face mask and then the unsportsmanlike on the talk back. So it goes from the 45-yard line of Rock Island down to the 25-yard line.
Mm.
They called the face mask as Dre reached over to try to break the ball up, and his hand came down in the guy's helmet in front of him. He didn't even pull on it, and they called that a 15-yarder.
They're actually going to mark it at the 26 of Galesburg. With 22.9 seconds remaining. And Rock Island's big playability with one timeout remaining. And we saw from their kicker, Campbell, that he's got the leg to get a 30-yarder if they need it.
But where is he mentally? He's missed one.
Exactly.
He's had one blocked.
Right. So they don't even want to take that chance for sure. So here we go. Game on the line. The Streaks need a huge stop here to force overtime now is what we've got to be thinking. Reese back to pass on first down to the near side. Complete to Rios, who steps out of bounds inside the 15. They pick up 11. And now you got to believe they are in field goal territory for sure, but definitely thinking touchdown all the way with still 17 seconds to go. They give him 10 to the 16. Again, the Silver Streaks have led in the fourth quarter in all four of their conference games. Sterling scored 18 unanswered to rally back in that one. Rock Island trying to come back against the Streaks here with 17 and a half seconds to go. Reese, good protection across the middle, complete to Rios. Reels it in inside the five, and the Streaks stop him at about the two. With 9.3 seconds to go.
So now it's just basically a PAT.
And they call a timeout.
At this point. And that's our last timeout. So they can't run the ball here. They can run one pass play because if they run the ball and they don't get in, they're not going to get set for a second play in time. So this is going to be a pass play. They can run the ball. There's nothing that says they can. It just would be a crazy thing to call. So this is probably going to be a pass play here. You know, I'd pick on, you know, Rios or just a jump ball maybe in the corner right now. But, you know, and then they'll bring the field goal unit out.
And when you say to the corner, again, for people who may not follow football, maybe listening just because of a friend interest, a family interest, the idea is to go for the back corner.
The back corner, yes.
So only the receiver really has a chance to be the one to catch it, not the defense. If he can't catch it, then it's just out of bounds.
We have to identify 88 here. I watched the replay. We did not touch him off the ball, off the line of scrimmage last play. We've got to hit him.
And they did it. We got him to jump. That's huge.
So that'll back it up 5 yards. And when you say they got him to jump, what did you see, Jake?
Yeah, again, the defensive line in any short yardage situation, if you've watched Streaks games or you've listened to us talk, they do a fast movement. Defense is allowed to move before the ball is snapped. And more times than not, it gets the high school offensive line to jump.
Yeah, they reduce down a gap. They make it tighter, their splits.
Moves it back to the 7 on first and goal. Streaks scrambling to get set up defensively now. Reese back to pass, flushed out of the pocket. Rolling right. He's going to throw for that corner and out the back of the end zone with 2 seconds to go. So now they can send in Campbell for the field goal, which will be about a 24-yarder to win the game. And if he misses, we go to overtime. And again, the Streaks have shown a proficiency throughout the first 5-plus games of this season to block these kicks.
And it's no bigger time than right now. I mean, we talked about how much harm the Rock Island penalties have been to them this year, or this game, excuse me. None bigger than the two that we had on our last turnover.
Kai Rios, the big tight end target, as Jake pointed out earlier, is the long snapper in these situations. Xander George holds.
And we call a timeout.
The Streaks have a timeout to burn. So, yeah, so they're going to make Anthony Campbell think about it with 2 seconds to go and the game on the line. And he'll be kicking from the far hash mark, which gives him an angle of a right-to-left kick.
And be mindful, this is a live snap. This is not like a PAT where it's a dead ball snap.
Oh,
in high school, if you block
true.
It, it's a dead ball. If we go through and get our block here, it's still a live ball.
Yeah.
That's true. Meaning, keep going.
Pick it up.
Score, baby.
Score.
Pick it up and go.
And also, defensively, don't let them pick it up either and you know, trot into the end zone. So,
well, you'll hear me yelling over the microphone to pick it up if we do get a block here.
I think we all will. It'll be like Cam Aguirre's 102-yard touchdown interception last week.
Oh, baby. A little bit of everything here tonight, guys.
So the ball at the far hash mark for the right-footed kicker, Campbell, Anthony Campbell for Rock Island. 2 seconds to go in a tie ball game.
Again.
And the Streaks now use their final timeout. And they let Campbell think about it just a little bit more. And probably good to just remind the Silver Streaks, too. You don't want to jump off sides here and give them that 5 yards back.
So you got to keep their heads straight as well. And with all the penalties that Rock Island has had tonight that have harmed them, remember, it's the two big 15-yarders against the Silver Streaks that helped put Rock Island in this position after the interception. So you don't want them to add on another five-yarder and help out the Rocks anymore here. Homecoming has been a dynamite game, and it's come down to this. It's a chance for the Streaks to make a big stop here and force overtime and stay in the hunt for the Western Big Six Conference title. The ball will be placed at the 15-yard line. A 25-yard field goal attempt for Anthony Campbell for the Rocks to win the game.
That's a high snap, and he falls on it, and kick.
Go!
The Streaks pick it up.
No whistle.
Is there a whistle? I don't hear a whistle. The Streaks are going to run it all the way back.
White Hat's calling it down.
Okay, now he didn't. All right, there he goes.
That poor holder got hit really bad. I don't know.
I kept watching, and I never did see. I was waiting for the officials to blow it dead. They just kind of stood there. So a high snap again, and Xander George on the hold had to go up for it and juggled it, and there was no opportunity for the kick because of it. And George is down. They're going to check on him, and we are going to overtime. And Coach Ben Hammer for Rock Island is out there, and I'm guessing he's probably lobbying for some sort of penalty against the Silver Streaks.
Well,
but everybody was just going for the ball.
He becomes a player.
He's a runner.
Yeah.
He's a runner at that point. So
it's a high snap.
It's unfortunate.
And then he did drop it. So it was a high snap that he had to come up out of his stance to get it. And when he put his hands on it, he dropped it, and it came straight down. And it was Hunter Davina for the Silver Streaks who picked it up and attempted to return it.
The Streak sideline has obviously seen the replay on their system.
I'm trying to watch
and
it.
And they're saying it's a touchdown. But, I mean, these guys, there's no way they're gonna overturn that
no,
at this point.
I don't think so.
There's no way. So
I can't,
you know,
I can't
we're playing
see.
Overtime.
I think the ball's out, but I don't know exactly where the
yeah. He's coming over
the
to the sideline saying the ball was down.
Hey, listen, to our student section, I love it. It's homecoming. They're out here in their jerseys, full force. They want to see a victory here. Scoop and score. Hopefully,
so
Coach Blackwell is saying, we have video. You want to see it?
Yeah.
Right.
It's hard to see because the person filming has zoomed out, you know, to see the kick a little bit better, so it's hard to see.
Well, and again, Jake, you talked about interpreting the body language of the officiating crew on a play earlier
yeah,
in the game.
Yeah.
Watching the body language of them
They're
as
staunch.
The Streaks are returning it back.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was any doubt in their mind that the play wasn't down, somebody would have been at least trailing downfield,
well,
at least for a little bit.
Yeah, I personally actually think they missed it. But, you know, obviously I'm biased at this point. But I don't know if – I mean, this is kind of something that doesn't happen a lot in high school football. You don't see a lot of field goals, A, kicked, and then you don't see them blocked and then scoop and score. So if they could be thinking of it as a PAT and not even realizing – that's a live ball, but these guys are, you know, they're paid to do all that stuff, and they see it how they see it. There's no replay, so we're playing overtime, which is as good as the Streak could hope for, you know, at this point. So, you know, Derek Blackwell's still out there talking to him, having that conversation, but at this point, it's a moot point. We got to get guys out. We're going to flip coins again. They're going to decide, you know, who wants the ball first. Guys in overtime. We're going to have a possession for each team in high school football.
Yep.
And Sean is from the 25, or do we still do the 10-yard line in high school?
I think it's 10.
Yeah,
10-yard
line in high school football. So they'll get to pick which side, like which end zone they want to go to, and
it's
all
a
that
whole
kind
deal.
Of stuff.
Yeah, it's a whole deal.
It's a bit of a deal, yeah.
But this, you know, 2 years ago we talked about this in the
yes,
pregame
we did.
About our last homecoming game 2 years ago was against Rock Island. We had inclement weather that Friday night, moved the game to a Saturday day game. We played very well. It was a very good Rock Island team that we weren't supposed to be in the game with, and we were as a result, and went to overtime, and the game was decided. I think we had the ball first and did not score.
Correct.
Fumble? I don't know what it was.
But something. But anyway, all they needed was a field goal to win, and
I feel Rock Island
was able to execute that.
I feel like we had a penalty in it, and it moved us.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know. I don't think Jake was at that game. I was on the sideline for that game. I remember being down there for that.
Jeez, Jake,
I wasn't there for that game.
I
probably
know.
Had a grad class or you know something stupid.
Yeah.
No,
I was on the sideline for some reason. I remember being down there and. You know, just feeling the sting of that defeat because it was homecoming. We played so well.
Yep.
Yeah, I did. I was in Macomb.
They won it on a field goal.
And watching it, trying to watch it on my phone or trying to listen on my phone and like halfway pay attention to my grad professor.
It was a long discussion going out here. They just gone out for the coin flip here to determine.
Have they even flipped the coin yet?
No, they haven't. There's just the extraordinarily long. There it goes, finally.
Maybe he switched coins from the beginning of the game.
You know, usually what you do when you win here is you pick defense.
Yes.
Right? Because you
want the ball last.
Yeah, you want the ball last here. You want to see if you can stop them. We've already seen that Galesburg has the edge in the kicking game here in this case, so that's a plus for us. But, yeah, you want to pick defense. So whoever gets to pick if they want the baller to be defense first, and then the other team gets to pick which end zone they want to go to. Still a little bit of wind. There's no, like, student section advantage, which you see in college football.
Jake.
Me too. That's why I'm feeling right now. So, you know, just trying to keep the air going here.
Because we can't tell.
I don't know who won.
Right. They threw the coin, and then there was no indication. Yeah. There was no indication even from the players either about, like, you know, yeah, we won that.
I think these officials are getting paid hourly.
or by penalty flag thrown.
Okay, so Rock Island must have won because we're going to bring our offense out. So I'm assuming that Rock Island won that one. And, you know, traditional thinking would say you'd want to be on defense first. So our offense is coming out onto the field.
Cardinals score a run on the bottom of the ninth to defeat the Cubs 4-3.
Walk off.
Great.
So we want the streaks with a walk off here.
Yeah, they're going to have to walk off on defense.
On defense, yep.
Which will be okay. You know, that's fine too.
So I think this is the first overtime game we've had since that Rock Island game 2 years ago.
Yeah, this is the first one I've had, I think, doing this. So if you remember some overtime games, you know, it seemed like Galesburg and Quincy went to overtime like every year, it seemed like, there for a while. Yeah, the streaks in Rocky has turned into one great rivalry right now, capped off by tonight. So here we go. First and goal from the 10. Possessions.
Aguirre lines up to the right of Legate in the shotgun. Alex Boffman, a receiver left. Dre Egyptiaco, right. To Aguirre on the ground. Cut up the middle to about the 6. Gain of 4. Again, first play of overtime.
Silver streak down.
Streaks player down. Offensive lineman. What the hell? No, that's Aaron Kelly. So that would be the streak center.
Center, yeah. That's
a bad deal.
A potential major problem.
Yeah, that's a bad deal there. Clutching his left knee at this point.
The center exchange snap, so important at any level.
Yeah, and it's less so because we're in the gun all the time. You know, we've only seen us in bone up under center for 3 plays the entire night. So, you know, a little shotgun snap's a little bit easier in terms of the exchange. But it's just, you know, we saw Aaron Kelly out for the first game, and they had some center issues. And
Jake,
you know,
do you see anybody else warming up for center?
I saw we ran a guy in.
Okay.
Grant Reese did that. In the first game.
It wasn't Grant Reese that
I'd say keep him on the sideline and get some practice snaps.
Okay, so the lineman that ran on is senior Tyler Kemp, number 60.
Okay.
Now that doesn't mean he's going to play center. We certainly could put him at guard and move another guy to center.
Right.
That's an option, so that doesn't mean he's coming in as center.
Kelly is up. And walking off, favoring his left leg. Again, this has been an issue in this game on both sides. Satiski warming up.
kicking into the net on the sideline. After a gain of three by Cam Aguirre. The Streaks face second down from the seven.
So Kemp is going to do the snapping here.
It will be Kemp. Tie ball game. First series in overtime.
Perfect
snap. Hand off Aguirre. Taken down for a loss back at the nine. Tried to get to the edge and couldn't. Third down. All right, you know, so Galesburg, six of 12 on third downs tonight.
So this is a tough angle here, Jake, for, yeah. You know, we got, hopefully if we're going to run the ball, we run it to the right to try to center it up a little bit for our kick.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to go for end zone here.
Again, Boffman lines up left, Drea Gypsyako right. Legate looking left, flushed out, still looking left. Throws it. Back of the end zone. Boffman, he was out of bounds, though. He was out of bounds at the back of the end zone. He made a heck of a diving catch with three white jerseys all in the vicinity. But he was out of bounds, out the back of the end zone, and now it'll have to be Satiski for the kick to give the Streaks a three-point lead. So it'd be a 26-yard field goal. He's converted on 38. And what was the other one?
31?
33. Yep, 33.
Yeah, a little different angle here for a right-footed kicker coming from the left hash. Just kind of aim at that right upright and just let it curve in.
The snap is good. The hold is down and whistles.
Kick
and
was
Sam's
good.
Kick was good.
They called timeout.
But who called timeout?
Rock Island calls timeout.
Both teams get a timeout in the overtime.
And that was that kick, to be honest, was the worst kick of the night for Statiski. He didn't get as much, foot on it, but it was good enough.
Yeah, plenty good enough.
But yeah, as far as distance and that kind of thing goes, we've seen better. Just get it through. It don't matter what it looks like.
Hicks showing me the replay up here. Not that play. So timeout Rock Island, and Satiski will have a second crack at it. He got one off.
I haven't watched. It does look like Grant Reese is doing the long snapping here.
Yes,
I haven't watched. Is
he
Aaron
does.
Kelly? Okay, so Grant Reese is still the long snapper.
Yes.
So we still have our long snapper out there. These guys are lined up off sides. I can see it.
So the hold is down. The kick
still
by Satiski
good.
Is perfect. Perfect. His third of the night. Makes it 30-27, and now the defense has to do its job. 26-yard field goal to put the Streaks back on top.
Fantastic. So we have a candidate
like there
here.
There was nothing to it.
We have a candidate here for Crunch Time Player of the Game.
No question.
It's going to take a monumental effort here by this Streaks.
Yeah, and the crunch time player of the game may come on defense.
Yeah, it's going to take one heck of an effort here. The Streaks have shown to not be able to stop here in the last couple drives.
Yeah.
But this is different, right? Everybody's kind of tightened up, and everything's slowed down here 10 yards ago.
And I hope our listeners are feeling the energy here, because I said at 3:51 in the game, I said, hold on, this is going to be a wild one. And sure enough, here it is.
Hand off up the middle. George bounces to the outside, and he's got the touchdown. Xander George had done nothing. Off the game, and he runs in a 10-yard touchdown on the first play from scrimmage, and Rock Island celebrates, and they win it 33-30 in overtime. We'll take a break. Post-game show coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Oh, good. It's my favorite time of year.
Pumpkin spice latte season.
No, it's get dark early season. Or I can't go anywhere because I can't see at night season.
Here's an idea. Why don't you get that checked out at Kehoe?
Feel like you can't see when you drive at night? The experts at Kehoe Eye Care use state-of-the-art technology to determine the cause of your night blindness. Get the help you deserve with an appointment at Kehoe Eye Care in Galesburg or Monmouth.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Yam Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yam. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. By Clear Sound Hearing in Galesburg and Monmouth, providing innovative hearing solutions. Set an appointment for a free evaluation and hear what you've been missing. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. And by Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Proud to bring you GA HS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call for the right policy and save money. Cloudy tonight, scattered showers, even thunderstorms. Overnight low is 65. For tomorrow night and Sunday, mostly cloudy with showers, even thunderstorms. High of 80 tomorrow, a low of 63 tomorrow night, and Sunday a high of 75. It's 64 at WGIL.
With the final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Derek Blackwell, WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.
Homecoming heartbreaker for sure for the Galesburg Silver Streaks. They fall in overtime 33-30. Dock Island gets two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, a big two-point conversion to tie the game. And the Silver Streaks, despite scoring on a field goal in overtime, can't keep Rock Island out of the end zone. They run it on the first play from scrimmage, 10-yard touchdown run for Xander George. And Galesburg falls 33-30, dropping the Streaks to 2-4 overall and 2-2 in the Western Big Six. So let's talk about our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. And pretty easy choice, as it turns out, just in terms of how we saw this game develop and things we talked about throughout the game. And we came to this one pretty quickly here tonight, fellas. Sean, you want to go?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we look at the times in which we needed points, right? Put us ahead by seven, you know. Eight. Put us ahead by eight. Put us in position to where if Rock came down to score, they had to go for two-point conversion to convert that, which they did in the end. We saw a 38-yard field goal, 33-yard field goal, and the field goal there in overtime, which, you know, on fourth down put us in position after they iced him kind of with the timeout.
Yep.
To put up another one. So we – I don't know statistics and records and things like that. We'd have to go back and look. But, you know, when exactly was the last time that we had a place kicker have three field goals in one game? Jake?
Yeah, sorry, just running things through my head out here. No, it's three field goals in one game is something I don't think I've ever seen in, 18 years being around the program. 38 yards is something I don't think I've seen in 18 years. The overtime field goal, you know, under pressure, had to do it twice after a timeout. Just all of that, you know, and
tough
like
angle.
You said, the timing of everything, the timing of when he had to make those kicks and at big points at the time was, you know, just kind of set the stage for that. So I definitely give that to Sam.
Yep, Sam Sadisky, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, take a look at our post-game statistics, get a word from the coaching staff as well. 33-30, the final, Rock Island in overtime. You're listening to post-game coverage of Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Don't let getting your hands on building materials be the thing that keeps you from landing that next big job. RP Lumber has the hardware, tools, and building materials to help you knock out one project after another. Find your nearest location at rplumber.com. RP Lumber, we keep you building. Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by local State Farm agent John Hawkinson, offering home, auto, and life policies to fit your budget and lifestyle. By Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it.
And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
When it comes to hearing loss, what you don't know may be hurting you. I'm Deb Dyer from Clear Sound Hearing. People with untreated hearing loss experience significantly higher incidence of isolation and depression. Studies show that adults with untreated impaired hearing have a shorter lifespan than their peers who wear hearing aids, and 90% of people with tinnitus have hearing loss. Improve your hearing. Improve your life at Clear Sound Hearing in Galesburg and Monmouth. Online at LifeSoundsGreat.com. Come hear what you've been missing.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Take a look at our post-game statistics. Again, Sam Sadiski, our Dave's Autobody Crunch Time player of the game for his three field goals, which end up not being enough. Boy, they were big at the time. He came through big when the Streaks needed him, but the Streaks fall 33-30 in overtime. Our post-game statistics brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Cameron Aguirre tonight for the Silver Streaks. 29 carries, 145 yards, and three touchdowns. Legate carried it only twice for minus eight, and Amari Richardson had two carries for two. So Cam is our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game the last 2 weeks and certainly did enough to earn it again tonight. He carried all but four rushes for the Silver Streaks tonight. Tristan Legate finished, let's see, I didn't add up these final numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of 17 with two interceptions and 127 yards. Mikey Eicher, 4 receptions. He sure was a candidate for Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, too. 4 big receptions, 82 yards. Egyptiaco had 2 receptions for 45 yards. Streaks slowed down the Rock Island rushing offense, but most of their touchdowns on the ground came in the second half. 3 of their 4 rushing touchdowns in the second half. Xander George got the last two, the one that tied it and then the one that won it in the overtime. Darius Tongo, the leading rusher of the night, 9 carries, 113 yards, 2 touchdowns. Quantarian Brooks had 10 carries for 87 yards. George, 8 carries for 33 yards in those 2 touchdowns. And the Streaks tackled the quarterback Eli Reese for a loss 3 different times. He finished with minus 14. Reese passed for 181 yards, 116 of those to Kai Rios on 9 receptions. Marion Anderson had 5 receptions for 57 yards. Joe Allen had a 20-yard catch. And Tongo had 2 receptions for 21 yards. Again, Rock Island prevails despite 22 penalties and 166 yards tonight. Streaks had 8 penalties for 92 yards, none bigger than two late during the interception that cost them 30 yards and denied them their last offensive possession in regulation. Take one final timeout here on the post game, and we'll talk with Streaks head coach Derek Blackwell when we come back on the homecoming disappointment from Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Is your water heater looking old, making weird noises? It's time to cut the cord and replace that old water heater with a new one from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. This is Neil Thomas. Never worry again about waking up without hot water, or worse yet, a ruptured water heater tank. Enjoy the comfort of knowing you have a dependable water heater for years to come with a full warranty that's been installed by a qualified, licensed plumber. For a free quote, call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today at 342-4328. That's 342-4328.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Head coach Derek Blackwell joining us now on the field. Down there with Jake Miller, our post-game coaches interview brought to you by RP Lumber. Best service, best value. Streaks fall in overtime, 33-30. Let's find out what the coach had to say, Jake.
Coach, I think, after one like this, so much as our job as teachers and what you guys do as coaches is playing psychologists, and something like tonight is certainly a lesson to be taught. Is there something you talk to the kids, about? And I don't need to give me specifics, Coach, of course, but something you talk to the kids about how to handle, the unfortunate thing that happened to them tonight.
I told them the feeling inside, take it with you, let it burn, because it hurts. I know it hurts. But let that be the fuel to your fire for next week. Let that be the fuel to your fire. We have another tough opponent in Moline coming up. We just want to work hard and chin up, chest out.
Yeah, that's the right way. Coach, I just to get your take on a couple of things. One of the things, we've had a fourth quarter lead in every Big Six game of the year. And what is it that you guys – is there something you guys thought about in terms of how do we get this group of guys to turn that corner and hold on to that fourth quarter lead and turn these close, tough losses in the other direction?
I credit this one to Rock Island. They just played well, and we didn't. And it showed in the fourth quarter. I believe we played well for three quarters, and like you said, we've done that in all the Big Six games. But we have to find a way to win in the fourth quarter and stop either blowing leads or giving leads away, whatever it is.
So it kind of turned, in the first half, besides play number one, defensively completely solid, the rest of the half and even into the third quarter. What did Rocky do something to us different? I noticed some motion things that they were doing, trying to get us aligned differently. It was just an adjustment they made in the second half that we weren't, we weren't able to react to.
I think we adjusted well. I just don't think we played physical enough. There's plays in my mind that I can clearly see where, like that last touchdown, I know our guys should have played more physical on that, and they just weren't. And we prepared for it all week, and it just didn't happen.
Your take on the blocked field goal, Coach, to me, I know that's a live ball. That's not a PAT. I know that's a live ball. I didn't see it as a guy. I know it's a moot point now. But what did you guys see? Did you guys see that as a live ball attempt for Hunter to run that thing back?
I believe it was a live ball, but they did blow the whistle. So regardless, it's an inadvertent whistle. And I knew that. I mean, it was just unfortunate for us. But, yeah, we should have had a touchdown there in the end. And they blew the whistle, so I knew it was down. There was nothing we could do about it.
Did they tell you it was inadvertent, Coach, or did they tell you that the play was dead?
They told me the play was over.
Okay. Coach, I appreciate you coming out, on a tough one, win, lose, or draw. You come out and talk to me. The last thing to address here is, this is something you guys have already done. You got the tough start, and you keep getting these kids to come back and play the next week. Do you expect it to be any harder this week, Coach, after this one with the homecoming and all that? Or you expect these guys to show up to work on Monday and do what they've been doing all season?
Oh, yes, completely. They do everything I ask, and I've been speaking highly of them all year long. I appreciate this group of kids. They're leaders, and they show it every day. They come out, and I don't have to worry about the work ethic because they bring it.
Okay. I appreciate the time, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, of course, we appreciate Coach Derek Blackwell joining us. And, again, our coaches at Kelsburg High School, whether we're doing high school boys basketball, girls basketball, whether it's Coach Blackwell, whether it's coaches we've had with Coach Washabaugh previously, they're faithful. They know that the listeners want to hear what they have to say, and I'm sure there are nights like this when they don't want to come out and talk to us, and they do it. And we hope you listeners appreciate that, too, because they're doing that for you. They're not doing that for us. Of course, we're doing it so that you can hear from them as well. And, when you're dealing with the emotions, can only imagine you guys have been in those locker rooms and on tough nights like this, so you know how hard that is, and then to be able to have to walk out of there and come out and talk about it. And when, in a lot of ways, the coaches haven't fully processed exactly what's happened here tonight and know exactly what to say when we ask them those questions. So
again, we really, really appreciate that, and that they do that faithfully.
Yeah,
so.
And that's the thing. You know, I'm sorry to cut you off there, Brad, but that's the thing. These guys haven't seen film. They're just as emotional as the players, trust me, because they've put as much into it. And Sean and I have done it, and they got to come out and say the right things to the public and do that. And that's harder than anybody out there knows. So for him to come out, win, lose, or draw, have a game like that, and to do that, it says something to the character of what they got going.
Well, we are two-thirds of the way in the season, right? You know, we have six games down, mm-hmm. and we have three to go, and we're looking at a team that has two wins that could very easily be at four or five wins.
Yeah.
You know, with a few bounces of the ball or a couple of lucky things that they could go our way, and they haven't. And, you know, Jake's question there to Coach Blackwell about, you know, getting to a culture that's able to finish a game in the fourth quarter is hard. Jake and I have been there. We tried to establish that culture, and it's difficult. It's difficult with
– It's a tough gig.
It is, yep. Very much so.
I think in football more so than any other sport.
Yep.
You know, we try very hard with the conference that we're in to get over that hump, to try to be successful and get to the point where we have a culture that says we know how to win in the fourth quarter. And I think that's one of the things that's biting us right now is just some of that lack of history for us where we've been this program that is dominating, yep. You know. And there have been many coaches who have come in here that want to change that culture and really put forth a good effort. And it's just very difficult to get that turned around. But, you know, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is we're still dealing with teenage boys.
Yeah, right.
They're going out. Coach Blackwell is right. This is going to sting. This is going to hurt. You know, it's still homecoming. Hopefully it doesn't ruin their homecoming. They still have a Saturday to get excited if they're going to the dance.
Make some memories, some good ones there.
To go and do that. But I think, you know, I still think in the back of their mind this is still something that is – going to eat at them because it's been that type of season where, you know, we're looking at two wins and we could easily be sitting at four or five.
Three losses by a total of 7 points.
Yeah, and that's hard. That wears on you as a player and as a coach. You can hear it in Coach Blackwell's voice. I mean, it's very difficult. I'm not saying he's giving up or anything. It's just it's the loss. You're dealing with that. You go in and you practice all week with the guys that you see in their eyes that are hungry and they get after it. And then you go in after the game and you see the dejection that's there and you know that they had it in their grasp. And that's why you do this. It's not about wins and losses. You do this because you want to see the kids be successful. I got a message during a game about I talked about Boffman on a block in the end zone that extended the play and allowed – I think it was Cam to score on a running play.
Uh-huh.
And this group, I've talked before about this group of seniors that I was coaching, and one of the coaches that was with me in eighth grade said, do you remember when Boff, he messaged this, he's a good shout-out to Boff, he said, do you remember when he got an interception in a game and was crying on the sideline because he was so happy? And I forgot about that, you know. And it's those things as a coach that I don't know if we won or lost that game. I think we won because that team was pretty good in eighth grade.
Yeah,
we won every game and tied one. We won that game, but you remember things like that. You know, you don't remember who caused the fumble. Sometimes you do. Wins and losses, I always say they take care of themselves, but it's the emotional things that you remember. And when he sent that, I'm like, yeah, I do remember that. That was a great feeling to know that. And so to know where they were in eighth grade and coaching them in eighth grade and seeing them come out here and working hard as a coach, you know that they're giving you your all, and they're not getting the wins they want. They're not getting the finishing that they want in the fourth quarter, okay, to make themselves feel good. But as a coach, you know that they're giving you everything that they have. They're going out there every single day and working hard for you. Mm-hmm. And as a coach, there's nothing more that you can ask for. As a group of guys that are devoted to you, they listen to what you have to say, and they go out every single day, and they put faith in you as a coach to say, you're going to put me in position to be an opportunity to win the game, okay? And that's what these coaches are doing, and that's what these players are doing. It's just difficult because we're not seeing the fruits of their labor.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's the hard part of it all.
And then you go out next week and you play Moline and you do something what now nobody thinks you can do. And you go out and you take them down when nobody else has been able to do it in the conference, and then everybody feels great all over again. That's what we can hope for anyway.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the victory next week because of the loss here tonight –
the Streaks now do have to win their last three games. You said, Hick, it's two-thirds of the way through the season. If Galesburg's going to have any chance at the playoffs, they got to win the next three now in order to do it. So that's what we're looking for moving ahead to next week. Again, the final 33-30. Streaks fall in overtime. Our thanks to Will Stevenson, our broadcast engineer. For Jake Miller, for Sean Hickey, I'm Brad Binowitz. Have a good rest of your homecoming weekend. If your kids are going, celebrate it. Live it up with them. Enjoy every moment while they've got this opportunity to do it and make it special for them. We'll see you next Friday night from Moline. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.